because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat.
Sweating now, Mr. Mountbatten, Windsor? Coming up, we'll tell you what is expected to happen through today. What is the level of involvement of the FBI? And does the King need to make a speech? On that subject, it was business as usual for King Charles.
What's your reaction to your brother's arrest, sir?
As the story continued to travel the globe.
Fox News Alert, we begin this hour with a breaking news story out of the UK.
Ex-Prince Andrew has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office.
And in other news, so much for our special relationship as we block Donald Trump from using RAF bases for strikes on Iran. Sir Keir Starmer citing international law. What about diplomacy and friendship? Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, detectives will continue searches of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire later. He was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Police are looking into allegations that Andrew shared sensitive information with Jeffrey Epstein when he was Britain's trade envoy. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes says investigations will likely take several months.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been bailed while under investigation. This means he is now being released from a police station in Norfolk. Thames Valley Police confirmed that searches at the property in Norfolk have now concluded, but the searches in Berkshire are still underway and the force will not make any further statements or hold any press conferences on this matter.
The last senior member of the royal family to be arrested was Charles I in 1647. Andrew's brother, the King, has expressed the deepest concern but said the law must take its course. President Trump has given his reaction to Andrew's arrest while speaking to reporters on Air Force One.
It's a very sad thing. When I see that, it's a very sad thing. To see it and to see what's going on with his brother, who's obviously coming to our country very soon, and he's a fantastic man, the King. So I think it's a very sad thing. It's really interesting because nobody used to speak about Epstein when he was alive, but now they speak. But I'm the one that can talk about it because I've been totally exonerated. I did nothing. In fact, the opposite. He was against me. He was fighting me in the election, which I just found out through the last 3 million pages of documents.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always strongly denied any wrongdoing over his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Stay with LBC for the latest. It's reported the government has refused to give the United States permission to use two British military bases for any potential future strikes on Iran. Two sites previously used by the Americans were mentioned by Donald Trump in a social media post on Wednesday. In it, he criticised the UK's agreement to hand the Chagos Islands over to Mauritius. The White House is continuing to pressure Iran to make a deal to pause its nuclear programme. And the government has announced plans to use drones to track illegal waste dumps in England. A so-called drone squad will use laser technology to pinpoint where waste has been dumped, which could later be used as evidence in court. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,627. It closed down 59 yesterday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy start for many. Some bright spells and showers developing later. A high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hello, I'm the new deal or no deal scratch card from the National Lottery. The banker called. He doesn't think you have what it takes to beat him. But forget that guy. Play me today and you could be one of millions of instant winners and show that mean old money grabber who the real big deal is.
Pick up the new Deal or No Deal scratch card in store today. Search Dream Big Play Small. Rules apply. 18 plus.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after seven on Friday, February the 20th. It really was a where were you when you heard the news moment yesterday about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Potentially the downfall is complete. From palaces to a prison cell briefly and then an interview room. That is where we are. So going forward, what happens today to Andrew Mountbatten Windsor? What's the level of involvement of the FBI? And of course, what's happening at the various addresses?
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. I'm LBC's Shivani Sharma in Sandringham with all the details.
And at Royal Lodge, officers have been searching Andrew's former 30-bed mansion. I'm LBC's Fraser Knight in Windsor.
Plus, with all the questions swirling, and here's another one, the allegations, I'll say it again, the allegations concern links with a dead man. How easy or otherwise, how difficult is it to prove any sort of action if the other key witness is actually dead? We'll look at the legal aspect of that. But with all these questions swirling, is it time for... another King's speech? He put out that message yesterday, which clearly laid out where he stands. No one is above the law, but do we actually need to hear and see him in person? There are other stories. We'll go to the Cornish village that's endured, count them, 50 consecutive days of rain. And then to matters overseas, as it appears Sir Keir Starmer citing international law. He loves his international law, doesn't he? It means we won't assist the United States Air Force with using RAF bases. If, of course, military action goes ahead, President Trump...
Now we may have to take it a step further, or we may not. Maybe we're going to make a deal. You're going to be finding out over the next probably 10 days. They can't have a nuclear weapon. It's very simple.
So much for that special relationship, and is that why it would appear currently President Trump is kiboshing the giveaway Chagos deal?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Unless you've been living in outer space, you know the big story from yesterday, and it will carry on today and through the weekend and possibly for weeks to come. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor now left police custody after he was arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office around 8 o'clock yesterday morning. It's believed the allegations relate to his time as the UK's special trade envoy. The former prince is the first senior royal to be arrested in modern history. You go back more than 300 years to the last arrest. And LBC's Helen Hoddenott has been looking back at the events leading up to it.
It's a fact of life, if you live in the public domain, you're always going to be under scrutiny.
Then Prince Andrew, in 2008, during a trip to the US in his role as a British trade envoy.
The main purpose of my visit has been to tell the United States how important their investment is to the UK.
Rewind a few years to 1999, the year Andrew claims he was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein through a mutual friend, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Prince Andrew has spoken about his friendship with Ghislaine, and he met her when she was at Oxford University.
Years later, Virginia Giuffre would claim Epstein arranged sexual encounters between her and Andrew in 2001 when she was 17. The same year, Blair's government appointed Andrew as trade envoy. In 2008, Epstein was jailed for soliciting a minor for prostitution. And in 2011, Andrew ended up quitting his trade envoy role after it emerged he'd visited Epstein after that conviction. Here's Labour's Chris Bryant commenting at the time.
I'm afraid he's now just become a national embarrassment, and my worry is that sometimes when he goes on these trips, I'm not sure whether he's helping us out or he's just helping himself.
Epstein was found dead in his jail cell in 2019 after being charged with sex trafficking, and Andrew stepped back from royal duties after a disastrous TV interview.
Do you regret the whole friendship with Epstein?
No, still not. The people that I met and the opportunities that I was given to learn, either by him or because of him, were actually very useful.
In January 2022, the late Queen stripped her son of his royal patronages as the scandal deepened over Virginia Giuffre's allegations. And later that year, Andrew reached an out-of-court settlement with Miss Giuffre.
The parties will file a stipulated dismissal upon Miss Giuffre's receipt of the settlement, the sum of which is not being disclosed.
In October last year, amid further questions over his links with Epstein, Andrew was stripped of his royal titles and told to move out of Royal Lodge.
Was Prince Andrew? Now he's just going to be known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor.
The Epstein files started to be released in December, with emails published this month appearing to show Andrew sharing confidential information with Epstein during his time as trade envoy.
He forwarded two emails to Epstein. One said, Made Me Think of You, which was an investment opportunity. And the one in December detailed important facts about reconstruction in the Helmand province.
Andrew has consistently and strenuously denied any wrongdoing, and being named in the Epstein files is not an indication of misconduct.
That was LBC's Helen Hoddenott reporting, and as we have said, the story went around the world.
Fox News Alert, we begin this hour with a breaking news story out of the UK.
Ex-Prince Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, the brother of the King, King Charles, has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office.
Está contando la BBC, el príncipe Andrés, hermano del rey Carlos.
Majeur à l'affaire Epstein qui vient de tomber du côté du Royaume-Uni, on a appris l'arrestation de Andrew Mountbatten.
Ex-Prince Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, der ist festgenommen worden. Das Ganze hat natürlich einen Zusammenhang mit dem Epstein-Skandal.
An unprecedented moment in history. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office.
And you heard there from Fox News, RTVE in Spain, BFM TV in France, Welt in Germany and Sky News Australia. And we're going to try and get through our 3 hours together without using the word unprecedented. Because if I heard that once yesterday, I must have heard it a dozen times and there was almost a smashed TV. To subscribe to that now, to get pick up on the global reaction. Let's go to one of our closest neighbours, to France. Peter Allen, LBC's reporter in Paris. Front page news, leading the bulletins. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. France is, of course, a republic built on the dramatic downfall of royalty. So there's always fascination with neighbouring royals, particularly those from just across the English Channel. Coverage is normally exceptionally positive. King Charles is a Francophile, very well received during a state visit here 2 years ago. His mother, the late Queen Elizabeth II, was massively popular in Paris. So there's widespread astonishment at what's happened to her son, the former Prince Andrew. Reporting is all being placed in the historical context this morning. Le Monde's headline is Former Prince Andrew Arrested by Police, a historic event in the United Kingdom. Libération, perhaps trying a little bit too hard. The Prince is dead. Long live the defendant. Misconduct in a public office, that is an offence that is of great interest in the French. A lot of their heads of state have been involved in accusations of misconduct in public office over the years. But again, this is a new sector for this charge, and that is the royal sector. And they are particularly interested, of course, in Jeffrey Epstein. He had a flat in Paris. Lots of speculation again in the media this morning that Prince Andrew spent a lot of time, the former Prince Andrew, spent a lot of time in that flat. Jeffrey Epstein's last flight to America before his arrest and eventual death in a Manhattan prison cell was from Paris. So, huge story here, Nick, across broadcast media and, of course, the newspapers this morning.
Thanks, Peter. Peter Allen, LBC's reporter in Paris, 12 minutes after 7. Let's go to, well, we have an interesting relationship with our good friends down in Australia concerning royalty. Some seem to be up for it and some seem to be again it. Diane Coveney-Garland is news director at 2SM Radio from Sydney. Joins me now. Diane, well, good evening to you. Good morning for us. Again, what's it making on the bulletins? Morning.
Well, morning, Nick. It's been absolutely huge here. I woke to it in the early hours of the morning, Sydney time, and was absolutely, well, a lot of people have said they were shocked but not surprised. And I guess that's the general feeling in Sydney today. A lot of politicians have come out. In particular, the Prime Minister has in the past been pushing for a referendum on Australia potentially becoming a republic. And when he became Prime Minister, he was quizzed about that quite a lot, and he said no, that won't happen. And he has again said, well, his people have said that he won't be doing anything about Australia becoming a republic while he's top as the Prime Minister. The Health Minister, Mark Butler, said a man known as Prince Andrew, His Royal Highness, is now just a man in his 60s. And one of the big quotes in one of the papers over here, the Sydney Morning Herald, born into privilege, he's now a pariah. So he's obviously had a big fall from grace. And the young woman, Virginia Giuffre, is, of course, an Australian. I think she was born in the United States, but is Australian, and sadly took her life last year. After she passed away, her book Nobody's Girl was published. Now, I haven't read that, but I've heard and read some of the little excerpts out of that. And she'd long been pushing for the release of more documents from the Epstein files, alleging that she was abused by Andrew as a teen.
I will leave it there, Diane Coveney Garland. Thank you. Your news director at 2SM Radio, based in Sydney. You get some rest now. 14 after 7. Let's go to the United States, where, of course, a lot of the allegations of what might or might not took place are meant to have occurred. Charles Feldman, journalist based in Los Angeles, formerly with CNN and KNX News, hosts the SOS America podcast. Again, how high up the bulletins, Charles? Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Very high up. Led the evening newscast, network TV newscast. I'm looking now online. It's certainly a large story in tomorrow's New York Times. My favorite is the front page of Rupert Murdoch's New York Post, where it is the lead story, and it says, Prince of Darkness. A catchy headline. But it is of great interest here because, as you know, Americans have this very long fascination with British royalty. And this kind of thing, all the shenanigans and all the allegations, it's kind of like a cross between Upstairs, Downstairs, and The Sopranos.
Do you know, I think we can't beat that line. I'd have put that on the splash on the New York Post. Your headline was better. Charles Feldman, thank you. You're talking to us from Los Angeles. You're formerly with CNN and KNX News. Check out the SOS America podcast. Charles, we'll talk again. Thank you for that. Coming up then in this hour, what happens today for Andrew Mountbatten Windsor? What are the possible links with the FBI? And what of the policing activities if the allegations, and again, the allegations are true, and they involve a dead man, Epstein? How are you going to make a link? How do you prove a link? And, of course, what of the working royals?
Within hours of Andrew's arrest, the King and Queen tried to keep calm and carry on as they attended public engagements across London. I'm LBC's Joseph Draper, live from Buckingham Palace.
And I'm Alex Taylor-Brown in Leeds, where Princess Anne has been visiting a prison on the day of her brother's arrest.
And in other news, back here in the UK, the Prime Minister, citing international law, he is nothing if not a barrister, says that we, the United Kingdom, will not help the United States with any airstrikes on Iran, so the people can continue to suffer and be murdered, and Britain will do nothing. Meanwhile, Trump says he's disinclined now to support the Chagos deal. Can you really blame him? Plus,
I'm LBC's Andy Ballantyne here in the wettest place in the UK. Find out where later.
And he recorded that with the aid of a snorkel. You'll hear from Andy later. 7:16 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Detectives will continue searches of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire this morning. The former prince was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And it's reported the government has refused to give the United States permission to use two British military bases for any potential strike on Iran. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy start for many, some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The North Circular Road is closed westbound between the Crooked Billet Interchange at Walthamstow and the Cooks Ferry Interchange at Chingford. It's because a car is on fire and there are delays on the approach. Albert Bridge remains closed in both directions for the emergency works, so definitely do expect delays. On the train, C2C services are delayed via Barking because a train has broken down, so that's causing delays for services in and out of Fenchurch Street. On the Underground, the Northern Line can't run northbound between Kennington and Euston Fire Bank after a signal failure. Severe delays on the Piccadilly line and also minor delays on the Metropolitan line.
Ah, claim approved. Direct Line's ready to send my new laptop within 2 hours.
That's how it's done. Imagine if everything was that easy.
Like teaching little Johnny to play his recorder.
Oh my. Oh. He's a musical genius.
Direct Line. That's how it's done.
Theft and accidental loss claims up to £3,000. Cover limits apply. Personal possessions cover needed for items outside the home.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
People ask me, what's my good place? Wild swimming with the girls on a chilly spring morning. And knowing that with Pension B, I can choose to invest in line with my values, which is why I picked their climate plan.
Last one in by blood!
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
When you're smiling,
Banning
Dental Group clinics with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa.
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo.
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:20 coming up. What exactly happened when Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was taken to that remote police station? What's the process he will have gone through? Is he allowed one telephone call? Do they take his belt and shoelaces away? What happens now as the investigation continues? Remember, the allegations, I've underlined that word, the allegations surround an alleged relationship with a dead man. How are you going to prove any impact with a dead person? Because you're not going to be able to get to them. And what is the level of involvement of the FBI? A question a lot of law forces in this country are asking. We'll be answering all of those through the course of the programme, but also, is it time for a King's Speech? You can probably guess, it's on the front page of your newspapers. The Sun, the Sun devotes most of its front page to a photograph of Mountbatten Windsor being taken away from that police station after 11 hours in custody. He appears to be sort of semi-lying back in the back seat of his car, driven, I imagine, by Royal Protection Officers, which is the weirdest thing, of course. He'll have been driven by the police to be interviewed by the police and then driven away by the police. Really doesn't get weirder, this story, but he looks absolutely haggard. Many people would say perhaps that's a good thing. That's for you to decide. That's the Sun. One word for the Daily Mail, simply the word downfall. There's that picture again on the front page of the Daily Express and the Daily Mirror and the Times and the Eye. I do apologise, with this story for the Eye being King, my brother must face the law. And that, of course, is the statement that was put out by King Charles. And there's that picture on the front of all the pages. I'll end now. But as I often say, the joy of having a broadsheet newspaper, because you can run it big or play it big, whichever you prefer, on the front page of the Daily Telegraph. And there we are, Andrew arrested. It's on. If you've not seen it, simply go to the LBC app, because there it is. Haggard and gaunt, as my colleagues there came absolutely right. An accurate description on that. There's no point me trying to find any other story, really, on the front pages, because that is the main one. And as we touched on earlier, we've been going around the world, and here are the headlines again. Prince of Darkness, as Charles Feldman was telling us from the New York Post. The Washington Post, I have to say, by and large, American print journalists aren't known for their ability to write snappy headlines. Andrew is arrested on suspicion of misconduct. I think we might have put a little more effort into that one, perhaps. For the Australian, arrest of Andrew, the royal reckoning. And here's the Irish Times, British monarchy in crisis following arrest of former prince. And I don't think, for once, that's journalists overstating it. I think there is a crisis in the constitutional aspect. More on that in just a few moments. But let's pick up with what's happening at the key addresses. Off, then, to the Royal Estate in Norfolk. LBC Shivani Sharma joins me from Sandringham. Shivani.
Nick, good morning. This will be a birthday that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor never forgets. At 8 o'clock yesterday morning, it wasn't celebrations he woke up to here, but rather a knock on the door from the police who arrested the former prince here at Wood Farm, the property he's been staying at in Sandringham for a few weeks since he was effectively turfed out of his bigger property, his bigger mansion at Royal Lodge in Windsor. Now, officers turned up in unmarked police cars as Thames Valley Police said that Andrew was arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office, a reference, of course, to that alleged sharing of confidential documents with the disgraced former businessman Jeffrey Epstein when Andrew was trade envoy, all of which he, of course, denies. Now, officers spent the day here searching Andrew's property, searching his possessions, things like computer files, photographs, and they said yesterday evening that they had concluded their search. And that phrase, days, a picture speaks a thousand words comes to mind. As you say, Nick, Andrew photographed leaving a police station in Norfolk, about an hour's drive from this estate here yesterday evening. And that is not a photograph I'd imagine Andrew wants out there, slouched in the back of a car, clutching his fingers together. His eyes look like he's completely stunned, like he wanted to be anywhere but there. And there's obviously been immense interest here over the last day. Photographers and journalists from around the world still here this morning. Officers still here at the estate as well. I've just seen another police car pull up. Locals and dog walkers that I've been speaking to as well, Nick, completely bemused, turning their heads, trying to figure out what on earth has happened in this quiet rural area in Norfolk, which has effectively turned into somewhat of a circus. Now, we wait and see what happens next. Thames Valley Police has said it won't be releasing another statement or holding a press conference imminently, but it does now have that task of meticulously going through whatever data it's collected from the searches at this address. But it doesn't feel like this story is over for the former prince, who has denied all allegations of wrongdoing. Now, LBC's reporter Fraser Knight is live in Windsor.
Well, from a 30-bed mansion here at Windsor a few weeks ago to just a single bed in a police cell. Police searched Royal Lodge all day yesterday with cars coming and going, uniformed officers guarding the gate, and vans leaving, including at one point a luxury art removal van yesterday. It's hard to know exactly how long these searches take. They're very forensic. They go through every room, checking them twice. And Thames Valley Police, while they confirmed that their search in Norfolk was done yesterday, they will be back here at Royal Lodge today as they gather more evidence to help with their investigation. Computers, devices, hard drives, maybe even floppy disks, given Andrew's role as trade envoy spanned a decade starting in 2001. Look, this is a place where Andrew lived for 20 years with his ex-wife Sarah Ferguson. He was often out seen riding his horse, including at the start of this month, even after headlines had emerged about him in the latest release of Epstein files. But just a few weeks ago, he started the process of moving to Sandringham, having essentially been evicted by his brother, the King. But look, while the clock was ticking yesterday, 24 hours in police custody to hold and question the former prince, the investigation is just getting started for police here. Andrew has been released under investigation. That means there's now an unlimited amount of time for police to continue gathering information and go through whatever they've taken from his homes. That's a process that, let's face it, could take months. Andrew's no longer in custody, but his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, during which he insists there was no wrongdoing, is very much still under a microscope.
Fraser Knight, and before that, our colleague Shivani Sharma reporting for LBC 726. So, let's look at the historical impact of that. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, the first royal to be held since Charles I in 1647. Dr. Craig Prescott is a constitutional expert and lecturer at the Royal Holloway University of London and joins me now. Doctor, good morning. Remind the listeners, what happened to King Charles I? Morning.
Hello, good morning. Well, King Charles I, he was beheaded, wasn't he? So
he was. That was when the law was the law. That's what we call the good old days, Doctor.
Absolutely. That was, you know, that was fairly definitive. I don't think we're quite going to enter that territory here, but...
Let me ask you, when you heard the news yesterday, wherever you were, as someone whose bread and butter is the royal family and our constitution, what were the first thoughts that went through your head? And then when you heard the King's statement concerning his brother, your reaction to that, Craig?
So I was... It was like, I think my first reaction was, oh, God, they've actually done it. It sort of, yeah. you know, because there was discussion. We knew the police were circling. And it was like, oh, gosh, they've actually gone and made that step. And I thought that was, you know, clearly that's a very, very big move. And they wouldn't have done that without sort of taking, you know, seriously considering the implications of that. As regards the King's statement, I thought that was clear, straightforward, and his position is, you know, when he said the law must be followed or... Mm. or
let me state clearly, way. just give you correctly, Craig, let me state clearly, the law must take its course. Now, that will have been carefully considered, I would imagine. There'll have been quite a few courtiers poring over the King's words. Craig?
Yes, undoubtedly, because there's two elements here. One, he wants to make a statement to sort of support the law. The other is that he can't be seen to be prejudging and interfering in the ongoing investigation in any way. And if you want to get very constitutional about this, the king is the source of our law. It is the king's justice. And so, you know, he has to be careful as to what he says. You know, the court, Crown Court, for a reason. And so, I thought it was very well calibrated between the different sort of considerations that would be in the king's mind and those advising him.
Lastly, Lastly, and we'll be discussing this through the course of the morning, that there is a sense now that the king, although we have a written statement that we do, albeit briefly, we have to see him do some kind of recorded message on radio or on TV, a king's speech, if you would. What would your counsel be on that?
I think my counsel would be to perhaps not do that right now. We don't know where this story is going to go. We don't know if there's going to be a charge or a trial or a conviction. You know, a statement live on television is the big bazooka that the king has. And, you know, and I think that's got to be saved for when, you know, that this story might run and run for the next few months, maybe even into next year.
That is certainly possible, Craig. I will leave it there. Thank you for your time this morning, Dr. Craig Prescott, constitutional expert, lecturer at the Royal Holloway University of London. Coming up later in the show, there are other stories, I promise you. We seem to have now put our special relationship with the United States offside by Sir Keir Starmer citing international law and not allowing RAF bases to be used by USAF, the United States Air Force, for potential strikes on Iran. So the United Kingdom will watch as more people are murdered, and Sir Keir Starmer, a barrister to his boots, will continue to say it's a breach of international law. Well, probably quite a lot of Second World War was. Do we look at that? Plus, where is the wettest village on the country that's been now raining for 50 days? We will give you a live, if rather soggy, report. And then back to the big story of the day. What happens now for...
I've always adored him all my life. And I believe that he is an extraordinary person. And Diana would be very proud of her grandchildren.
Fergie, Sarah Ferguson, speaking about her love for King Charles. But where is she now and what of their daughters? We'll look at that as well. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Newstime, Dominic Ellis.
Detectives will continue searches of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire this morning. He was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Police are looking into allegations that as Britain's trade envoy, Andrew shared sensitive documents with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has previously denied any wrongdoing over his connections to Epstein. It's reported the government has refused to give the US permission to use two British military bases for any potential future strikes on Iran. Two sites previously used by the Americans were mentioned by President Trump in his criticism of the UK's Chagos Islands on Wednesday. And a new so-called drone squad fitted with laser mapping technology is being deployed to track illegal waste dumps in England. Trained pilots will help gather evidence from the air as part of government efforts to tackle the issue. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy start for many, some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
This is LBC.
When an offender is released, the probation service keeps them on track so they can find a place to live, which gives them the stability to say no to old habits, making them more likely to attend their supervision meetings. And all of that ripples out to make the community a better place to live. Hello, mate. Search probation service jobs to find out more. An extraordinary job done by someone like you.
It's easy to forget just how crazy things have been over the past couple of years. Every day we wake up to something new. Tariffs and taxes on anything and everything. It's tempting to put your hands in your ears and go, la 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 la, I can't hear you, until it's all over. But you know what's the best response to crazy times? A plan for your money. And Quilter can help. Because let's face it, there's probably going to be some crazy times ahead too. Money needs a plan. Quilter. Pensions, investments, advice. Find out more at quilter.com.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quaterpillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears. And four giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena, lemurs, Jungle Kingdom go-karts, trampolines, magical wood and cafes.
Knock Hatch Adventure Park. Book now at knockhatch.com.
In a world speeding to make car finance claims, make sure you're in full control. You don't need to go with a claims company and risk losing more than 30% of what you're owed. Put yourself in pole position. Don't rush. Be ready.
Looking to make a claim on your car finance? Get 100% of the facts. Go to fca.org.uk/car-finance-claims.
Claiming soon.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973.
7:34, acutely aware that some of you are saying, are there other stories? There are. There's the United Kingdom positioned with the United States over trying to stop the murders in Iran, and no, we're not going to help. And there's the wettest village or wettest town in the country. That's all coming up later in the show. But into the world of business now, again, away from the Royal Watch. Anna McDonald, investment manager at Aubrey Capital Management. Thanks for coming on, Anna. There's some figures that have come out fairly recently. Tell us what they are, and more importantly, possibly, what they mean. Anna, good morning.
Good morning. We've had some numbers out on public sector borrowing, and actually there is a surplus in January, and it's well ahead of expected. It's a 30.4 billion surplus. Expectations were for 24 billion. Now, what we know is that this January is always a good month because everyone's filing their tax returns and paying their tax. But what's really interesting is that they took a lot of extra tax in capital gains tax. And that's because a lot of people sold assets ahead of that 2024 budget, that 2024 budget. And this is the tax year 24 to 25. So people were selling assets fearful that the tax they'd have to pay was going to go up. The other data out is retail sales. They were stronger than expected, 1.8% up in January. Quite a strange mix of reasons here. Commercial art galleries had a very strong month, and apparently jewellery is seeing unprecedented demand. But I think after really a poor November sales number, it was minus 0.4% as people were worried about the 2025 budget, we have seen a bit of a rebound.
Is that roughly what was, is that in line with expectations? It was better than they expected? How would you characterise it, Anna?
Both the government borrowing and retail sales were better than expected. Good. Which is great.
Yep, we celebrate that. Now, even our conversation is going to be, in a sense, affected by the goings-on as regards the Epstein files, because what's happened to a firm that was initially set up, including now Peter Mandelson?
Yeah, Peter Mandelson set up a firm with Ben Wegprosser called Global Counsel, which was an advisory and a firm to many, many big companies, real FTSE 100 companies. And they have been leaving in droves. So the 100, even though Mandelson left as a director and no longer owns shares, it's just too tainted by the brand. And actually, there is Wegprosser, the other founder, has, there are plenty of emails between him and Epstein too. So unfortunately, that is going straight into administration. And that's bad news for the 100 employees that they have in several offices around the world.
The taint of Epstein seems never to subside, does it? Let's move to other matters. What's happening to the former top dog at BrewDog?
I think that their BrewDog is really a very sorry tale, really. The James Watt is rumoured to maybe be thinking about coming back to bid for some of the assets, because BrewDog, they've appointed Alex Partners restructuring specialist to try and salvage some of the company. James Watt sold a significant stake in 2017 to a private equity owner who put very onerous terms on the returns they wanted to make. And so whilst James Watt and his co-founder did manage to make some money and avoid needing to float the company, the deal was so onerous that the company has got big mounting debts. And unfortunately, those people who were equity punks and invest in the business are going to be left with next to nothing.
Lastly, and I confess this is a sector that interests me enormously, not least because I've worked in it all my working life, are we close in the media sector to the Telegraph deal being a done deal?
We're close to Redbird IMI, the current owners, to be able to. Lisa Nandy, Culture Secretary, has said that they can sell the Telegraph to the Daily Mail and General Trust, Lord Rothermere's group. However, it is going to be referred to both Ofcom on a public interest to see if it's in the public interest, and also to the Competition and Markets Authority, because this means that Rothermere's group would have over 30% of the newspaper publishers, because it already has the Daily Mail, the I, Metro. So I think that particularly those towards the left will worry about the exposure and the concentration of in the right-wing press.
Grateful for your time, Anna McDonald. Thank you, investment manager at Aubrey Capital Management. 7:39 now. Let's come back to the bigger story of yesterday, today, and I would imagine barring events tomorrow as well. And how have the firm, the royal family, been getting on with business? And of course, also, what happens, of course, through today. Joseph Draper, LBC's reporter at Buckingham Palace, joins us now. What's the situation at the palace, Joseph? Morning.
Well, as you would expect, Nick, the eyes of the world media very much camped out here this morning. I'm sure overnight at royal residences like this one across the country, there were some sleepless nights after the arrest of Andrew Windsor yesterday. The king was given no notice about his brother's arrest at Sandringham yesterday morning over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. I'm sure just as shocked as the rest of us. Certainly, it is not business as usual for the royal family, but he kept calm, as you say, and carried on with his duties. Pictured laughing and joking yesterday afternoon at London's Fashion Week in the Strand, just hours after his brother's arrest. But here he is facing some awkward questions as he arrived.
Your Majesty, how are you feeling after your brother's arrest?
And across in Westminster, Nick, the Queen faced her own questions as she left an orchestral concert at the Symphonia Smith Square Hall. She didn't answer, instead waving to onlookers.
Are you concerned about Andrew's arrest, Your Majesty?
And we're unlikely to hear more from the royal family about this, aside, I think, from the King's statement yesterday, which was also supported, we're told, by the Prince and Princess of Wales. He learns, he said, with the deepest concern about Andrew's arrest, saying the law must take its course. He said he wouldn't comment further, but he said, my family and I will continue in our duty and service to you all. That's very much what we saw yesterday, Nick. But royal commentator Sarah Hewson has told us that may not be enough.
Can the monarchy survive this moment? And that all depends on how it responds. It also depends what more emerges from this about what they knew when and what they did about it. And I think there has been a clamouring for some kind of response from the King. We had that statement 10 days ago now in which he expressed his deep concern about the allegations and his thoughts with the victims, but that didn't go anywhere near far enough to appease and reassure the public.
And Nick, there was other royal business yesterday too. We go now to Alex Taylor-Brown, LBC's reporter, who was at HMP Leeds yesterday, where Princess Anne was visiting.
Well, Nick, you know how hard all your correspondents and reporters work to bring different angles and talking points on stories. This was one of those instances where it just fell right in front of us, really. The optics seemingly not deterring Princess Anne from a visit to a prison on the day her brother was arrested on suspicion of misconduct in a public office. The Princess Royal arrived here at HMP Leeds in a convoy of dark Range Rovers, police bikes and cars. There wasn't really an opportunity to get a clear view of the Royal, though, as the convoy was shepherded inside the prison through a huge door which closed behind them, almost like a drawbridge to a castle at this historic Victorian prison. The Princess Royal was at another engagement here in Leeds, though, in the Guiseley area, where someone did shout to her as she arrived.
Reaction to your brother's arrest, Your Highness.
Now, of course, no answer from the Princess Royal there. In a statement by the King, he spoke of the royal family continuing in their duty and service, and that was what seemed to be the case here. Now, this is a prison, so there wasn't exactly rows of flag-waving royal fans you may usually see in these kinds of engagements, but some of the staff here and dignitaries did come out for her arrival. Among them were Kelly and Rahima, who gave me their reaction to the news of Andrew's arrest.
Sad in a way, yeah. As it's come to this, because obviously, given his stature and everything of the royal family, you know, he's a big figure in the UK, in the royal family. So yeah, so it's just a sad situation, and I do feel for the rest of the royal family that this is happening to them.
Yeah, yourself, what was your reaction?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same for me. It's disappointing news. I don't think anybody wants to hear it, so it's very sad.
Princess Anne spent around an hour speaking to prison staff here, Nick, in Leeds on the day her brother spent time in custody.
Joseph Draper, and up after him, Alex Taylor-Brown reporting for LBC 744. Let's bring Danny Short, crime and justice commentator, into the conversation. OK, Danny, the big question this morning is what happens this morning and through the course of the day, do you imagine? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Well, what's happening at the moment is I think search is still continuing in Windsor, but police have now got, you know, a huge task on their hands to go through all the documents, computers, evidence, etc. from yesterday, and obviously try and tally that with any answers that Andrew may have given to them about the allegations from yesterday's questioning, as well as obviously the mirror that they've already amassed. So, you know, I think this is a really complex and protracted investigation that we're now looking at, and it's complicated by the fact that there are other strands to it. We've got, I think, seven or eight other police forces looking into various other elements of this well. So I expect, Nick, this is going to go on for months.
How key a factor is it that the allegations, I say again, the allegations of involvement between Andrew with a dead man? It's going to be difficult, at the very least difficult, to prove any impact that the relationship might, I say again, might allegedly have had. Danny?
Well, obviously, this is about looking at documentary evidence, looking at those emails, but it's also about the action that the Prince Andrew took at the time and what his role was. He was a UK trade envoy, he was representing the government, trying to smooth relations between Britain and other countries to get trade deals, to get investment into the UK and so on. Presumably he knew what his role was, he knew what the restrictions were, and it's what he did in that role and whether he had some justification for whatever information he allegedly passed on. That's all key to it. I see it more about that, perhaps, than about the impact it had on Epstein.
Lastly, do we have any intelligence, any input on the level of involvement assistance from the FBI to any of the 9 or 10 British forces investigating this?
Well, I mean, it's possible that the British have reached out to the Americans and sought their cooperation, but that kind of arrangement is always sort of, as you know, Nick, kept under wraps.
Sure.
Unlikely that the UK police are going to divulge that. But you can be, I think, be assured that because this is so high profile, it is managed at the highest levels, and they will have looked at every single angle to try and ensure that it's an investigation that is carried out, you know, in the most thorough way possible and looking at it from every single angle.
Danny Short, crime and justice commentator, thank you for your time. Coming up later, related to this story, what actually happens when you go to a police station? What is the procedure? Was a mugshot taken of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, fingerprints and everything else? We'll tell you what the drill is when you go there. Also, where is Fergie and the two daughters? What of them? When will they perhaps break cover? What do we know, if anything, of the views of Sarah Ferguson, former Duchess of York? Then to other matters, where's the wettest spot in the UK?
I'm LBC's Andy Ballantyne here in the wettest place in the UK. Find out where later.
Plus,
doe, a deer, a female deer.
Labour to allow landowners to kill deer at night as numbers surge. Your reaction to that? 7:47, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
detectives will continue searches of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire this morning. The former prince was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And it's reported the government has refused to give the United States permission to use two British military bases for any potential strike on Iran. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy start for many, some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The North Circular Road is closed westbound between the Crooked Billet Interchange at Walthamstow and the Cooksbury Interchange at Chingford. It's because a car was on fire and there are lengthy delays back to the M11. Eastbound is open but very slow because of onlookers. Also, queues on the A12 northbound to Harold Wood after an accident. In Feltham, Harlington Road West is closed southbound because a lorry has broken down. On the train, C2C services are delayed by about 15 minutes via Barking. On the Underground, the Northern Line can't run northbound in Kennington and Euston via Bank, and there are severe delays on the Piccadilly Line from Acton Town to Heathrow Airport and Uxbridge, and minor delays on the Metropolitan Line.
This is LBC.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling, and smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go in a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
At TfL, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging, or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad! Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8 minutes before eight is the time. Time to get your Wellington boots, your umbrellas, your galoshes ready. We're off to the wettest part of the country. Rain for 50, count them, 50 days. But where exactly is it? You'll find out in a moment. Now, while I'm keen to move the story forward concerning Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as in what happens today, more police interviewing, links with the FBI, what's happening to Fergie, should the Kingmaker speak? There are so many aspects, and I've only just started. We do need to just go back a little, because in the most extraordinary... well, there was no shortage of extraordinary sights, but If I'm right, you had his royal protection officers, police officers, driving in convoy well other police officers to a police station, and then those police officers had to wait until the other police officers had finished with him before they could drive him home again. But what actually happens when you arrive at a police station? Graham Whetton is a policing commentator, former Met officer for 30 years, and wrote the book How to Be a Police Officer, and joins me now. I'm pleased to say, although there's still time, I've never actually been arrested and taken to a police and taken to a police station, and I'm grateful if you don't disillusion everyone of that. What actually is the process? Will you have had mug shots and fingerprints? What do you imagine? Graham, good morning.
Morning, Nick. He will be dealt with exactly as every other detainee is. When he comes into the police station, he goes into the custody suite. Custody officer, custody sergeant, which is a role I performed when I was in the police, the custody right. sergeant then will book him in. So the circumstances of the arrest are explained by the arresting officer.
Right.
Custody officer then asks for his details, believe it or not, name, date of birth,
right.
occupation, explains his rights to him, right to a solicitor, the right to have someone informed he's been arrested. He's then searched. So things like a belt, a tie, shoelaces, any right. personal property, phones, wallets, money, etc.
That's all bagged, presumably, is it?
That's all bagged up, yeah, and sealed in front of them.
Yeah.
Practice now is, and this never used to be the case when I was working as a custody sergeant, we used to do fingerprints and photograph at the point of charging.
Yeah.
So it was something that I had to authorise as the sergeant. I'm authorising for your fingerprints and photographs to be taken.
Right.
My understanding these days is that that is now sometimes done on booking in. So it made right. it possible that he had his fingerprint, photographs and DNA swab taken on booking in procedure. It depends on different forces and different practices.
On the drive from his residence to the police station, presumably he's allowed to... Well, he would have made phone calls to a legal team, presumably. Is that often part of the course?
That should have been done when he gets to the police station. That's part of the booking in process.
So his mobile phone is taken from him, is he, upon being...
Well, he wouldn't have been allowed to... He normally wouldn't have been... It probably wouldn't be taken from him, but he wouldn't be allowed to get it out and start making phone calls.
It's
normal practice.
Right.
I would imagine no.
Right.
with his protection officers probably following behind him... Somebody would have made a phone call saying he's been arrested.
I see.
Legal team.
11 hours, it is reported, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was interviewed. Is that long? Is that short? Is that, again, par for the course? Where are we on that, Graham?
I think that's probably par for the course with this type of offence. It's a very complex offence. There's documents going back, is it 13, 14 years or so?
Yep.
So a very complex investigation. A number of forces involved in it. Misconduct isn't a regular or easy offence to prove. The points to prove are not exactly set out in law. It's a common law offence dated back hundreds of years. So it's quite complex to investigate. You have to have your interview plan set out. 11 hours is probably about half the course for that, because they don't want to use up their whole... The detention clock effectively is 24 hours.
Right.
You can then extend it slightly. By
who has to authorise that?
The superintendent. At the point of 24 hours, you approach the superintendent. They then ask you the current status of the investigation. Why do you want to keep this person in for another 12 hours?
Right.
Once it goes beyond 36 hours, you have to go to a magistrate's court to get what's called a warrant for further detention and convince a magistrate you need to keep this person in police custody.
11 hours. Do you get a cup of tea and a biscuit? A sandwich? What happens?
He would have been offered a microwave meal if he wanted one.
What, toad in the hole or something like that, or a lasagna?
All day breakfast, lasagna. Yeah, you're right. You sure you haven't been in? Lasagna, all day breakfast.
Right.
He would have been offered something like a microwave meal. You can, if the custody officer allows it, you can actually ask for and be sent in some food from elsewhere if
right.
they permit it. But ordinarily, there are literally just like pre-packed meals we put in the microwave, and they get one of those during the day. But they are given some refreshments. They're not just left for 11 right. hours with no food or water.
And in a police cell, lastly?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely would have been placed in a police cell, which is a very, very sobering thought. When you actually put in that room, and it is literally a bare room, that door slams shut, and they are heavy doors that slam shut. You've literally just got the four walls to look at. A bench to sit on with a very thin mattress and one toilet with no toilet seat.
Graham Whetton is a policing commentator, former Met officer for 30 years. Thanks, Graham Whetton. And you wrote the book How to Be a Police Officer, 757. Now, there are other stories. And it's time, as I said earlier, to put on your Wellington boots and go to the wettest part of the United Kingdom. Well, here's a clue. Andy Ballantyne, the Great Ballantyne, is LBC's South West correspondent. So, in which part of the Great South West did we find you? Andy!
I'm here in Cardinham, and this village in Cornwall, as you say, dubbed the UK's wettest place. It's grey, it's gloomy, but dry at the moment. Nick, you join me just putting the finishing touches to Andy's Ark, which is looking pretty good at the moment. Now, here we've recorded 50 straight days of rain and counting.
It's just having something to go outside in and you not get soaking wet and feel like you're having a shower 24/7.
It's very muddy and slippery and wet. The daffodils are out, so hopefully it's turning the corner now.
Demoralising. Achy back, achy elbows, achy limbs.
Everything is just sodden and it's just grey and gloomy and it just makes you feel a bit miserable.
Pretty dismal. We're looking forward to the first fine day. We'll go wild that day.
Well, it marks a miserable milestone as the dank, dreary deluge continues. Exeter, Camborne and Okehampton, also all in Devon and Cornwall, have experienced between 43 and 49 days of continuous rain. Bruce Griffiths is a farm research manager at nearby Northwick.
Been pretty relentless 2026 so far. I've had about 290 mil of rain so far this year. Not quite double expected, but getting that way. Yeah,
no,
it's wet out there in the fields.
I'm putting on my John Ketley hat. The Met Office base down the road in Exeter has told ABC that there's no sign of prolonged dry weather until, get this, the middle of March. Let's see if this thing works.
Andy Ballantyne reporting with the biscuits in on his head. I thought we were going to have to send in the scuba divers to rescue him. He's LBC Southwest correspondent reporting from the wettest part of the UK. Now, you could say it's quite wet in number 10 Downing Street because as President Trump asks Keir Starmer for use of RAF bases to possibly launch strikes on Iran, the Prime Minister says no, citing international law. President Trump.
Now we may have to take it a step further, or we may not. Maybe we're going to make a deal. Well, you're going to be finding out over the next probably 10 days. They can't have a nuclear weapon. It's very simple.
A deer cull. The government to allow landowners to kill deer at night as those numbers are out of control. And we will come back to the biggest story probably of the year, if not arguably certainly the decade or the century, and ask where exactly is Fergie, and is it time for a King's speech? Those stories and more follow the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, detectives are due to resume searches of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire this morning. He was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Police are looking into allegations that as Britain's trade envoy, Andrew shared sensitive documents with Jeffrey Epstein. LBC's reporter Fraser Knight has the latest from Windsor.
Thames Valley Police, while they confirmed that their search in Norfolk was done yesterday, they will be back here at Royal Lodge today as they gather more evidence to help with their investigation. Computers, devices, hard drives, maybe even floppy disks, given Andrew's role as trade envoy spanned a decade starting in 2001.
The last senior member of the royal family to be arrested was Charles I in 1647. In his statement yesterday, Andrew's brother, the King, expressed deep concern but said the law must take its course. Constitutional expert Dr. Craig Prescott has told Nick calls for Charles to make a televised statement a premature.
My counsel would be to perhaps not do that right now. We don't know where this story is going to go. We don't know if there's going to be a charge or a trial or a conviction. Statement live on television is the big bazooka that the King has. This story might run and run for the next few months, maybe even into next year.
President Trump has reacted to Andrew's arrest, describing the situation as very sad. Members of Congress have said it should put pressure on officials to act more firmly against those in the United States accused of misconduct. but Washington Bureau Chief at The Guardian, David Smith, has told LBC further action there seems unlikely.
Many in the United States actually praising British police for trying to hold someone accountable for their connections to Jeffrey Epstein, and that stands in a very stark contrast with the US, where Ghislaine Maxwell apart, no one else has been prosecuted, and the Justice Department has indicated there will not be further prosecutions.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always strongly denied any wrongdoing over his connection to Jeffrey Epstein. Stay with LBC for the very latest. One other story this morning, it's reported that the government has refused to give the United States permission to use two British military bases for any potential strike on Iran. Two sites previously used by the Americans were mentioned by Donald Trump in a social media post on Wednesday. In it, he criticised the UK's agreement to hand the Chagos Islands over to Mauritius. The White House is continuing to press Iran to make a deal to pause its nuclear programme. In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,627. It closed down 59 yesterday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy morning for most. Some bright spells and showers developing by the afternoon. A high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
The Cupra Drive event is back. On top of existing offers, get £1,000 off across the range, including the dynamic Cupra Formentor, the sporty Cupra Terramar, and the daring Cupra Leon. Just order by 31st of March and collect by 30th of June. Follow your impulse. Search Cupra Drive Event. T's and C's and exclusions apply. UK retail customers 18 plus. New vehicles only. Subject to availability. Saving including VAT applied to the on-the-road price.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning to you. 4 minutes after eight on Friday, the 20th of February. There are other stories around, and this is the one we're coming to first. President Trump withdrawing support for Sir Keir Starmer's deal to hand the Chagos Islands over to Mauritius because it is reported the UK has not agreed to allow the use of British bases to attack Iran. This is as Sir Keir Starmer cites international law, his beloved international law, but are we always just lived by the law books and not by special relationships and diplomacy and sometimes action to be taken to save people being murdered by their own country? The mullahs continuing to murder possibly thousands in Iran, and Sir Keir cites international law. Coming back to the bigger story probably of this year, if not this decade, if possibly even the century. With all the questions swirling, and of course Andrew Mountbatten Windsor possibly facing more questions, is it time for another King's speech? He's put out that statement, but do we need to hear and see him in person? And whatever happened to...
So now I'm just getting strength. And so every single time I, like today, launch another book, it gives me more confidence and I get more strength. But I'm beginning to show the true Sarah now, but it's taken a long road.
The true Sarah Ferguson speaking back in 2023 about finding herself. People are trying to find her literally now and find out what she says about that story. Then in other news, Labour, a new government move.
Doe, a deer, a female deer.
Due to soaring numbers of permission to cull deer at night, they're going to be shot in the countryside. How comfortable or otherwise are you with that? And... back to the US, President Trump says he will direct US agencies, including the Defense Department, to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files on UFOs.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
To block or not to block? To use our special relationship or to rely on international law books? That's the question that faced Sir Keir Starmer, it is reported, when the United States asks for the use of the facility of RAF bases if some attacks are to be launched on Iran. I remind you, it is reported that the death of Iranians stands at more than 30,000. The government itself admits to more than 3,000. Surely any responsible nation would want to do all it can to help? And what of the possibility of military action? President Trump in the White House yesterday.
It's proven to be over the years not easy to make a meaningful deal with Iran. We have to make a meaningful deal, otherwise bad things happen. but we have to make a meaningful deal. So now we may have to take it a step further, or we may not. Maybe we're going to make a deal. You're going to be finding out over the next probably 10 days. They can't have a nuclear weapon. It's very simple. You can't have peace in the Middle East if they have a nuclear weapon. And they can't have a nuclear weapon. And they've been told that very strongly.
Is it right? Possibly this is one of the starkest illustration of how we have in Sir Keir Starmer someone who would assume his whole credo, his whole belief is in international law, almost at any expense, even possibly President Trump now threatening to torpedo support for the Chagos deal. But is the Prime Minister right? Sir Mark Lyle Grant served as UK Ambassador to the United Nations and National Security Advisor to the Prime Minister and joins me now. That is an interpretation of the stance that Sir Keir is taking. If it is a correct interpretation, how supportive would you be? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, let's make one thing clear at the start, because President Trump has blown hot and cold on this Chagos deal. And actually, that isn't really linked at all in any way to the decision whether the United States can use Diego Garcia to launch an attack on Iran. Because whether Britain has direct sovereignty over Diego Garcia as of now, or it is leasing it back from Mauritius, as would be the case after a deal is done, America would still need British permission to use that base for an attack. So President Trump is using the fact that he wants permission to use that base for the military operation on Iran as a leverage, as it were, by saying, we're not going to support the deal unless you allow us to use the base. So there's a little bit of diplomacy and game playing going on here. But to go to your fundamental question, it appears that last year in June, when America launched military strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities, that Britain didn't give permission for the use of RAF Fairford in Gloucestershire or Diego Garcia, although they don't comment on whether they were asked whether America wanted to use those bases. So I think for a Keir Starmer government, as you rightly say, he would believe that under international law it would be illegal for the UK to give that permission. And he has to weigh up that legal position with the special relationship, because this is potentially quite a big hiccup in that relationship if President Trump does go to war with Iran and Britain refuses to allow its facilities to be used.
Noting that you served as both the National Security Advisor and an Ambassador to the United Nations, were your counsel sought as to how far the United Kingdom should back any action taken by the US in Iran? What would your counsel be?
Well, personally, I think you can make a legal case for saying that under international law and under British law, Iran poses both a regional threat and a threat to the UK, and that therefore it would be potentially legal for British bases to be used. And I think, given the strength of the special relationship and the importance of that, I would be inclined to accede to the American request. But as a condition for that, you would want to know what is the objective of this military exercise? What does success look like? What is the purpose? Is it regime change? Is it an attack, as President Trump was suggesting in that clip you just played, Nick, to prevent Iran having a nuclear weapon? Well, he claimed that the attack last year achieved that already. Or is it regime change? So I think if it's a directly security-based attack, then I think you can make a case under international law, and given the strength of the bilateral relationship, I would be inclined to suggest that we do allow the base to be used.
Really enjoyed our conversation. Thanks for your time today, Mark. Sir Mark Lyle Grant, former UK ambassador to the UN, and served as National Security Advisor to the Prime Minister, 11 after 8. Listening to that is Dr. Alonso Garamendi Dunkelberg, who's a fellow in human rights at the London School of Economics, contributing editor for the international law blog Opinio Juris, and a member of the International Law Association's Committee on the Use of Force. Same question to you, if I may. What would your advice be to the Prime Minister if President Trump, if the US Defence Department was to ask to use RAF bases? Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. Well, I think it's important to clarify what does international law say about use of force, transboundary use of force. And the conditions are very simple. One, you've been attacked, which in this case, Iran hasn't attacked anyone. Two, you have consent, which in this case you do not have. There's no consent by Iran to use force in Iran. And three, you have consent of the authorization from the Security Council, which, again, you don't have. So there is no recourse under international law for an operation of this sort. And I think it's good that there isn't, because these operations, these rogue operations all over the world trying to quote-unquote free societies, have never worked, and they always produce crisis. So why would the United Kingdom both legally and politically agree to destabilizing the region?
So, Doctor, if these are rogue operations, what do you call a state killing its own citizens?
Murder. I do not condone that at all.
So
the Iranian regime is violating human rights.
So what should the rest of the world do?
Well, I think it is important to separate both the moral and legal claim of saying what's happening in Iran is unacceptable, and the idea that bombing people will solve that.
Do you think saying that will achieve anything, Doctor?
No, but I turn the question to you. Do you believe that bombing solves things? Look at the Venezuela example. They've done the least possible intervention.
You've asked me a question. Yes, sometimes bombing does solve things. Yes, I take you back to the Second World War and other events. Yes, not always. Absolutely right. But sometimes, unfortunately, might is right. And I don't know in this case, and I take on board what the former ambassador said. You need to know what the end goal is. But the idea that the United Kingdom would unilaterally say to supposedly our closest ally, you can't use our bases, is at the very best short-sighted.
Well, I think it depends on what you want to construe the special relationship to be. I think friends and allies, and especially partners, are able to say to each other, I do not think that destabilizing a government in the Middle East is going to produce good results. Even policy-wise, it's going to create people fleeing that country. So if you want to not have a lot of Iranians fleeing...
But the flip side to that is let the murdering continue. And I'm not comfortable with that. But it would appear
of course, I'm not comfortable with that either.
Well,
I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with the Iranian government violating human rights at all. So, I just don't think that bombing a country will result in ending of hardship.
Bombing hasn't begun, has it? I mean, I think, isn't it rather the threat of bombing that we want to explore now? And you want to see as much as a unity as you can among allies saying, right, unless you stop murdering your own people, we might bring on strikes. Unless you stop nuclear development, we might bring on strikes.
I just don't believe that is a sincere argument. I bring the case of Venezuela. Venezuela has basically replaced Nicolas Maduro with Delcy Rodriguez, who is the head torturer of the regime, and everything continues as it is. They've only replaced Maduro for Donald Trump. So right. I don't believe that Trump is a human rights advocate that wants to save the Iranian people. I don't understand why you do.
All right. Well, you are right there, but I don't know that we could always say, therefore, that any kind of military intervention is right. But listen, that's what a conversation is about, and let's see what my listeners make of it. I'm grateful to you. Thank you, Dr. Alonzo Gurumendi-Dunkelberg, fellow in human rights at the London School of Economics, contributing editor for the international law blog Opinio Juris. And now over to you to support or not to support as the killings continue, as possibly the development of nuclear weaponry continues. And Sir Keir Starmer gets out his international law book and says, up with this, we are not going to help you. In a related conversation about global affairs, here's former Labour Prime Minister Tony Blair, Sir Tony Blair, speaking yesterday as the Board of Peace was convened in Washington.
Today we set out profound changes necessary to rebuild Gaza for Gazans. Gaza not as it was, but as it should be, including its governance.
And we'll have more on that later in this hour. It's 8:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Police are due to resume their search of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. The former prince was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And it's reported Sir Keir Starmer refused to give Donald Trump permission to use two military bases for potential US strikes on Iran. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy morning for most. Some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. So the North Circular Road's back open now, westbound at the Crooked Billet Interchange at Walthamstow, but there are still long delays from the M11. Also, queues on the A12 northbound to Harold Wood after an accident. In Feltham, Harlington Road West stays closed southbound, and that's because a lorry has broken down and there are queues on the approach. On the train, C2C services remain delayed between Fenchurch Street and Upminster and also up to Grays. Various delays and cancellations, and on the Underground, the Northern Line back up and running now between Kennington and Euston, but there are severe delays. Also severe delays on the Piccadilly line and also minor delays on the Metropolitan line.
This is LBC.
Hey, dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you. If you're tired of dry, tasteless kibble or slop that plops out of a tin, you're going to want to hear this. Butternut Box makes only the freshest dog food with juicy meat and tender veg. It's the kind of food that makes dogs tongue out, running around the kitchen happy. Let's hope your human heard this too. Butternut Box. Fresh food, happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Okay, done. Move that. And, oh, new ways to invest.
Okay.
Foolproof guaranteed returns. Invest today.
All right, I think I will.
Way before you seal the deal, check if it's real and if a company's authorised by the FCA.
Oh, thanks.
Search FCA Firm Checker.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Get extra support with Immunace multivitamins, with vitamin D, zinc and selenium, which contribute to the normal function of the immune system. Immunace from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company. Verification at vitabiotics.com. From Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new Smart Hashtag 5 has just been announced as What Car's best family electric SUV of the year. And did we mention that the Smart Hashtag 1 and Hashtag 3 are also previous What Car award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
19 after 8, Sebastian, we're going to talk to you about Stark Suckier's position on Iran. Also asking whether there should be a King's Speech. Simon says, why on earth are you asking? Andrew's been arrested but not charged. If he's charged, then I would agree, but not now. Peter says, he can't give a speech. What are you talking about? These stories are episodic, thus every time there's a new revelation. If he gave a speech now, he'd be asked to give more speeches every time the story might develop. More on that in a moment. But let's talk about Sakir's position. He's clutching his international law book. We're not going to help the US in threatening strikes using RAF bases as regards increasing use of nuclear weaponry or potential use of nuclear weaponry. Is he right? Sebastian, in Harrow, good morning. What would you say?
Good morning, Nick. I wanted to draw the parallel between what happened with the weapons of mass destruction and Tony Blair being accused of the war crimes and all that kind of stuff. I think if rules be anything, Keir Starmer is actually sticking to make sure that the rules are going to apply properly and valid.
But my dear chap, the rules don't mean anything to Tehran, and the murders continue.
I think that he's also playing political in the sense that Trump wants to see somebody who's he likes people who are strong and able to hold their power and things like that. So he's having a pushback on what's happened in the past with tariffs, what's happened in the past with standing your ground, and also the humiliation that happened in that financial.
Right. I mean, look, you're absolutely right. And as my previous contributor said, every time that the United Kingdom and the US, either together or apart, have used might has not always been right. But sometimes it has been right. And just because there have been glorious, glorious errors, I just find it extraordinary with A, the murdering going on, B, the possibility Iran is inching towards nuclear capability. President Trump talks about threatening airstrikes and says to the United Kingdom, we need to use the RAF bases, and we say the international law says no. There are times, I'm sorry, when the real world, I would argue, trumps international law. No?
Absolutely abhorrent what's happening in Iran with all the murders that are happening. I completely agree with you there. And it's absolutely a crying shame that that's actually happening. And
so what do we do? And I hear you, Sebastian, and it is, and it's awful. And probably we've done more than some of the newspapers on the side of position in Iran, and we've spoken to that human rights activist. But eventually the talking has to end or the murdering won't.
I think you're absolutely right. But the thing is with Keir Starmer, I think he's holding his ground for some point, and then he will actually show his power and say, yeah, okay, now I'm going to allow you to do this. So that he's actually showing that he's got a bit of control there.
All right. Chalk that up as a 16th U-turn if he does. Sebastian, thank you. More calls coming in on that. Now, we can't ignore the biggest story, top of the news agenda, top of your on the front pages, which is, of course, developments regarding Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Now, the King putting out that statement fairly rapidly yesterday, in which he spoke that the law must take its course or whatever. Is there an argument now for another King's speech to address this? We've read it, but do we need to hear and see him? Robert Hardman, royal historian, royal commentator for the Daily Mail, written books including Charles III, New King, New Court, The Inside Story. New King, New Court, what about a new approach to broadcasting? Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I mean, I've heard these calls that, you know, the people saying, you know, we must hear from the King. We've had quite a lot of that in recent days. What we have to remember is the King is the head of the judiciary, and this has now become a fully-fledged, you know, legal judicial operation. I think the worst thing that could happen is for the King to sort of go on the airwaves and in any way sort of jeopardize, you know, the due legal process. But fine, when it's all over, when we've got resolution, when we know what we're talking about, then those calls might be valid. But I think right now it would be risky.
But Robert, wouldn't we have said that 20, and we're roughly the same vintage, wouldn't we have said that roughly 20, 25 years ago about the statement that came from him, came from the King yesterday? That is a development that shows the world of modern media, Robert.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, that was, I would say, that was a very swift sort of holding position. But, you know, special messages from the monarch, you have to deploy what I would call scarcity value. They have to be when there's something really big happens. I mean, for the late Queen, for example, she only did a handful in her reign. Yes. They were on the eve of the Gulf War in 1990. She did one after the death of her mother in 2002. And then, of course, she did her famous COVID speech, "We will meet again." But if the monarch starts offering a running commentary, then people are going to want him to comment on everything all the time.
That is
not
true.
What the monarchy does. We had, you know, when I saw those people yesterday shouting in the street, "What are you going to say about Andrew?" He can't say anything. I mean, and you know, he's put out a carefully worded statement saying the law must take its course. That's all he can say.
But lastly, it's interesting because that was going to be the essence of my final question to you, Robert. Again, you and I grew up a time when all you would do is bow or curtsy or do whatever to the royal family. We're now in a situation where the King is getting shouted at, not on a regular basis, but it seems almost each week. Again, is that not to be headed off by some kind of greater public appearance, as it were?
No, I don't think it is, because I think, as we've seen in recent weeks, I mean, that, you know, there was that statement of a week or two ago where the sort of where the King said roughly the same thing, you know, that we support the legal authorities, and then yesterday's these things don't stop the shouting. I mean, those hecklers, there's an agenda there. We all know that. You know, the Republic group who've been turning up in their yellow, waving the yellow flag saying, "Not my King." I mean, it you know, wherever you go, I see them at every royal event. You'll have about 2,000 people clapping and saying hello and welcome to the King or the Queen or whoever, and then you've got a couple of people in high-vis vests saying, "You're not my King," but because they've got megaphones and because we all like a headline, they tend to get the attention. But
Robert Hardman is a royal historian and royal commentator for the Daily Mail. Thank you, Robert. You wrote books, including Charles III, New King, New Court, The Inside Story. So, 8:25, Robert, accepting that possibly when this is done, and who knows which way it will go, not even at any charging stage, to preserve the monarchy, and there are many commentators saying that this is just its greatest peril since the abdication crisis last century, we would need to hear something from the King. Ian Birrell, columnist, former speechwriter for David Cameron in the run-up to the general election back in 2010. So let's play make-believe. This is dealt with in whichever way, and of course we're not going to in any way preclude a police investigation, but when it is done, in whichever fashion, do we then need to hear from King Charles? And if so, what would he say? Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I think at that point we would. To do so now would be not just judicially difficult, but also, I think, inherently politically risky, because this story still has a long, long way to go and there's a lot of unanswered questions, including for the royals. Mm-hmm. But having said that, at the conclusion, however this concludes, there will be a need for a statement. I think he'd need to get across two key things. One is that he shares the public horror for all the stuff that's emerging, this unrivaled scandal exposing both the utterly horrific abuse of and trading and trafficking of young girls by a group of very rich people who are all looking after each other and behaving with really contempt, like a sort of scum on the surface of society. He needs to get across that he shares that horror. But also the royal family is essentially about public service. It's about giving up their lives to serve the public and that sense of duty. And they need to get across the fact that a member of their own family, a guy who was second in line to the throne for many years, has betrayed both them and the country and the entire system, the rock upon which our country is built. And it's that sense of betrayal, both of the common decency which binds hopefully most of society together, but also that sense of duty and service which lies at the heart of government and the heart of the royal family.
Well, you're spot on, because the last paragraph, as you may recall from the statement yesterday, as this process continues, said the King, it would not be right for me to comment further on this matter. Meanwhile, my family and I will continue in our duty and service to you all. That is what they've got to rebuild and restore at some point. Ian?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what goes to the heart of it, because Andrew had a privileged position, which he appears, there's a court process, but he appears to have betrayed from what we've seen in terms of what's emerged with the Epstein emails and such like. And it's a grotesque betrayal by both him and his former wife. And the king needs to get across this sense of betrayal.
Ian Birrell, always enjoy speaking with you. Thank you, Ian. Columnist, former speechwriter for David Cameron in the run-up to the 2010 general election. Susan, coming back to you, Sir Keir Starmer's position on Iran. Just a couple of emails and texts that are coming in. Andrew in Derbyshire says, the special relationship is no longer special with him in the White House. Trump threatens us with tariffs, also calls into question the bravery of our soldiers. I'm sure you have selective amnesia when remembering Trump's past behaviour. Jay in Reigate, my dad gave me some good advice many years ago. If you're not there when your friend needs you, they might not be there when you need him. Meanwhile, Elizabeth in North London. So World War III breaks out. Starmer says he can't use our nuclear weapons in case innocent people are killed and it's against international law. Just help. Susan in County Tyrone, is the position taken by the Prime Minister the correct one? Good morning.
No, I don't believe it is correct, but I also don't agree with getting involved and using our weapons.
So you just let the killing continue?
No, it goes back to your last guest that was on, the doctor. You put back to him about the killings of all the innocent people in Iran, and was that humanitarian?
Yes.
No, it certainly is not humanitarian, but neither is the genocide that's taking place in Palestine. Now, why is our government not intervened if it's going to be solely on a humanitarian basis?
Why do you want to go and talk about the events in the Middle East when we're talking about Iran?
Because it's the Middle East. And
okay, well, why do you imagine there aren't any demonstrations about the murders in Iran as there are about the killings in Gaza? Why do you suppose that might be?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Wonder why the killing in Iran, which is as many in the government accepts 4,000, there are no demonstrations about that on the level that there were about the situation and in Gaza. I wonder why that might be.
Yeah, and I think the reason for that is because not a lot of people know about it with all the other distractions that are happening within the news, which is really unfortunate. I think more people now will be brought to their attention with the you know, impending involvement of the UK government. But my concern is the actions of the government now. They have to be very careful what they decide to do and what they don't decide to do, because they're under a microscope as it
they
is.
They are. Right? Yep.
But if they justify and say, yep, okay, Mr. Trump, you can use our bases to refill your planes to basically, for whatever reason he's going to do it for, because we are never going to know the true reason, because, let's face it, there's not been a lot of truth shared amongst the world.
I'm afraid truth is a bit of a scarcity at the moment. Susan, thank you. I'm late to the news, but thanks for all your input. Let's see what others make of what Susan says. Coming up later in the show, is there some alien life out there? Former US President Barack Obama being interviewed on the Brian Taylor Cohen podcast.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility.
So what, my question should have been, so what do you know, Mr. President? Surely that was where we needed to go. We'll get into that in more detail later. It's 8:31. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, and LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Police are due to resume searches of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. He was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. The former prince spent 11 hours in custody answering police questions on his 66th birthday. Officers are looking into allegations that, as Britain's trade envoy, Andrew shared sensitive information with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has previously denied any wrongdoing over his connections to Epstein. It's reported the government has blocked the US from using two British military bases for any potential future strike on Iran. Two sites previously used by the Americans were mentioned by President Trump in his criticism of the UK's Chagos deal on Wednesday. And Labour's recorded its highest borrowing surplus since records began. It's when the government received more in tax and other revenues than it spends. The net borrowing surplus last month was £30.4 billion. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy start for many. Some bright spells and showers developing later. A high of 14 degrees.
This is LBC. Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your Advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10k, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Ready? Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Come on.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8:35 is the time. We're talking about what level of support should be afforded from the United Kingdom to the US as airstrikes are threatened in Iran. Kevin in Oxford. Kevin, international law seems dominant for Sir Keir Starmer. Is that the right position to take? Good morning.
No, I disagree with Starmer. I mean, I was only on a phone to you a couple of weeks ago, Nick, trying to cut some slack for Starmer, but I've had it with him now. He's got to go. He's
Why is this the tipping point, as it were?
Well, he's spineless. He's got no gonads, Nick. He needs to go. I mean, we need to afford America what they need to carry out these operations. I mean, the people of Iran, the civilization of Iran, they're a young
they are, yeah.
Vernacular. It's a great country. They're lovely people. I don't think it will be
Do you have experience of being there?
I'm just well-read, Nick.
Okay, fine.
I do my research.
Yep.
So it's a great country. There's a lot of wealth in the country. Get rid of that. Get rid of that draconian government. I think it would be a great country if we were living. I don't think it would be another Iraq, because Iraq, Syria, Libya, they don't want the peace. They never have.
I mean, look, Iraq was less than a star-studded operation, but you could argue that considerable success was achieved in Kosovo. Simply to write off any form of display and to say might is never right as a result of Iraq or indeed Afghanistan, I just think is rather narrow vision.
Well, the thing is, Nick, I think the religious vernacular is slightly different in Iran. They don't have the splinter groups of different religions with these wars in Syria. Syria was lovely 6 months ago. Now it's breaking down again. So I think we have to afford the people a chance. And the other thing is, Nick, do I want to live in a democratic society? I watch my grandchildren play on the beach, and I don't care about the rest of the world. That's not the world I want to live in, Nick. I want all the children in the world to be able to go to the beach with their parents and in safety in a democratic government, for females to be educated, for no draconian laws. I want that for the world. So do we make sacrifices, Nick, or we just turn the cheek and say, I'm all right, Jack?
Thanks, Kevin. More calls coming in on this. Mark, you'll be the next caller, but we're staying with global affairs. We're coming away from the Royal Brief. We shall, of course, return to it and talk to you about this Board of Peace that has been constituted. Of course, we're the United Kingdom represented by former Prime Minister Tony, now Sir Tony Blair. The US proposing commanding a multinational force in post-war Gaza, troops from Albania, Indonesia, Kazakhstan, Morocco, Kosovo, as Donald Trump unveiled his Board of Peace. Mark Seddon, director at the Centre for UN Studies at the University of Buckingham, former speechwriter and communications advisor for then UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, joins me now. Thank you very much for coming on, Mr. Seddon. From what you've heard, seen or read concerning the Board of Peace, what are your hopes for any achievement from it? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, well, I mean, you'll recall the Biden and Trump administrations vetoed every attempt to get a ceasefire through the Security Council. But the Security Council passed this Board of Peace, Gaza Board of Peace. It's transmogrifying into something else, of course, because if you listen to that speech yesterday, it was about half an hour before President Trump got to Gaza. But look, at the end of the day, any attempt to finally bring peace to this region and a settlement based on the two-party solution has got to be supported. But I think there are a lot of concerns about this Board of Peace, principally because it seems to be very much a Donald Trump organization. He's going to be running it in perpetuity. You've got to raise questions also about the money, who's going to be in charge of it, what's this really all about in the longer run, because Donald Trump has shown really from the beginning that he's more interested in real estate opportunities and where you see him intervening elsewhere in the world, whether it be threats to Greenland or taking in Venezuela's oil, there's a big suspicion that, you know, he's gathered around him some really rather unsavory global leaders, and we don't really know where this is going to go. But of course, if you're a Palestinian in Gaza, the bombs not falling on your head's got to be a lot better than them falling on your head, even though bombs have continued to fall on their heads.
Mark, how is success or failure for the Board of Peace to be judged?
I think it could be judged if there is essentially Hamas handing over their weapons, the Israelis withdrawing from Gaza, for elections to take place in Gaza, and for essentially real progress to be made towards ending the occupation in both Gaza and West Bank and ensuring there's security for everybody. Now, you know, of course, you'll say, Nick, well, this is what the world has been trying for a very, very long time. It has been close in the past, and I think we have to look beyond probably Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, and hope for a better type of leader coming through in Israel and Palestine than we've seen in recent years.
Lastly, Mark, you talk about that progress. What would the baby steps towards that progress look like in your view?
Well, I think there has to be an end to all of the military attacks in Gaza. They're still going on. There has to be a disarmament of Hamas. There has to be the withdrawal of the Israeli occupation forces. And there has to be real and proper aid. I mean, you know, there's still not enough food going in. The UN has estimated that Gaza needs $70 billion in terms of reconstruction because the place has been flattened. And so far we've seen $17 billion. Sort of put forward, and we just don't know when that's going to happen. So there's such a monumental task to be done.
Enjoyed our conversation as ever, Mark. Thanks for your input. Mark Seddon, Director of the Centre for UN Studies at the University of Buckingham, and served as a speechwriter and communications advisor for the then UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. From one Mark to another, Mark and Sandy, to support or not to support, or to offer support, I should say, for USAF, United States Air Force activities. Where would you be, Mark? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, for me, I think we should definitely back America on that one, I think. Although with Trump, I have a lot of reservations about some of the friends he keeps and some of his decisions. But I think there's a bigger picture, and that is the way that the Iranian regime is treating its people, the FGC.
Iranian Revolution Guard Corps, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I have an aunt who lived in Iran for quite some years.
Oh, right.
Before the revolution. Oh. I also have friends from Iran. I'm a drummer, but I know a couple of Iranian musicians.
Right.
And those people are crying out for regime change. Now, I think Starmer really needs to get, get in the room, Mr. Trump. Excuse me. Yeah, he needs to get in the room with Mr.
Don't
Trump.
Don't tear it, I'll take the whole piece. Should... Sorry, go on.
Yeah,
it's like when you're buying fabric. Don't tear it, I'll take the piece. Yeah, go on.
Anything to stop me coughing.
Yeah.
I think that there needs to be a private conversation between Trump and Keir Starmer before he blurts out in public what he's going to do and not. And that is, number one, we need to just get some sort of like, look, Mr. Trump, you need to sort of recognize the skills of our British services and pay respect to that. We will back you, but too much is happening in the open.
Mark, have a bit of drop of water. Don't go. I want to bring someone else into the conversation. Rizwan is in Ascot. Mark, my other caller who's holding on, says we should support. You have doubts. Tell Mark, and indeed my other listeners, why, Rizwan? Morning.
Hi, good morning, Nick. Thanks for the call.
Not at all, sir.
So I wanted to cite two examples where Trump and America's hypocrisy comes to light, in my eyes, which is why Britain shouldn't support them. The first one is the conflict in Sudan. Now, the Sudan conflict has been going on since about 2023, and the American State Department, they've called that a genocide, and they've called that crimes against humanity. But they haven't sent boots on the ground there. They've done humanitarian efforts. So they've tried to engage, they've tried to engage the neighbors. There was some dialogue going on in Jeddah, which they've tried to do. They've tried to put sanctions. I'm not sure about the tariffs. They've tried to engage the neighbors. They've tried to use diplomatic means to put pressure and also economic. So if you're not going to send boots on the ground in Sudan, then don't tell me that they're doing this in Iran. In Iran, for the benefit of the people.
Let's bring Mark back in. Should we try more economic actions and sanctions? Mark, Rizwan's that's what Rizwan's saying.
I think there's a very big difference between Iran and Sudan. The backing that Iran has had from Russia, from China, the fact that Iran has also supplied drones to the Russians against Ukraine, and the proxies that Iran has set up in Lebanon, previously in Syria, and also, of course, in Yemen, and Hamas in Gaza, actually makes it a completely different animal. And each situation has to be judged on its own merits.
What do you say to that, Rizwan?
Well, the first thing is Sudan doesn't have the oil and resources that Iran has, that Israel wants, so they're definitely not going to go there. But the other point I wanted to make about the hypocrisy, about trying to liberate the people, America, or Trump's favorite army chief, as he keeps referring to, Asim Manir in Pakistan, in 2023, he rigged the election so badly that a party that only won 17 seats were given the government, as opposed to Imran Khan, who overnight was jailed.
Oh, yes,
over 200 cases of corruption were against him, when in his 73 years, not a single case of corruption.
All right, gentlemen, I must leave it there because, again, if I'm not careful, I'll be late to the news yet again. Rizwan, thank you. Mark, the initial even caller, thank you. Just a quick overview for me. I don't know how helpful it is to say Iran is like, Iraq is like, it was Sudan is like, Afghanistan is like, Kosovo is like, whatever it might be. I mean, these are such unique situations. Is like Gaza. Each has their own certain pressure points and difficulties, and I do think they need to be respected. Gentlemen, thank you. Hope you have a safe day. We will, of course, come back to the bigger story of the day, which is Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, his arrest and what seem to be ongoing police inquiries. But where exactly is...
So now I'm just getting strength. And so every single time I, like today, launch another book, it gives me more confidence and I get more strength. But I'm beginning to show the true Sarah now, but it's taken a long road.
Sarah Ferguson, speaking in 2023 about finding herself. Well, we're all trying to find you now, Dutch, but you seem to be lying low. Where exactly are you? 8:46 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Police are due to resume their search of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. The former prince was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And this report to the government has blocked the US from using two British military bases for any potential strike on Iran. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy morning for most, some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the North Circular Road, westbound to the Crooked Billet Interchange at Walthamstow. Of course, the road was closed earlier after a car was on fire. And a car also broke down earlier as well. Everything's open, but it's still very busy. Also, queues on the A12 northbound to Harold Wood after an accident, but that's back open as well. In Feltham, Harlington Road West remains closed southbound. This is the A312. It's because a lorry has broken down, and that's causing queues. There's been a signal failure just outside Liverpool Street Station, so Greater Anglian Standard Express services are delayed by about 20 minutes, and also there are delays on the Weaver line. Also on the Underground, there are severe delays on the Northern line going north between Kennington and Euston via Bank.
This is LBC.
1983 election, she's won a landslide second term.
Police have been deployed to disperse crowds as the poll tax riots escalate.
Credit crunch is continuing to spread from the USA.
Britain has left the European Union.
I mean, this goes on.
Boris, Liz,
we've helped Britain invest through 45 years of change. That's why we're the UK's number one investment and savings platform, trusted by 2 million people. Hargreaves Lansdown, helping Britain invest for it all. Investment returns vary. For claim verification, visit hl.co.uk.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
Radio turns miles into memories. From sing-alongs with the family, road tripping with your friends, or continuing that conversation right into work. In-car entertainment is getting better and better, allowing you to create more memories than ever before. So make sure your next car suits all your radio needs. Your car connects you to the places you want to go. Your radio connects you to each other and the things you love.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto, from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
You know that feeling when your money is working for you? No? Well, make it. Open an investment account at XTB, make your first deposit and receive a free Rolls-Royce stock.
Rolls-Royce?
That's right. Own one of the best performing UK stocks this year for free. And if you like it, you can easily buy more stocks and ETFs with 0% commission. Join XTB and let your money work for you.
Your capital is at risk. Investments above €100,000 are charged at 0.2% commission. FX fees may apply. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
I would have got 10 minutes before nine. Chandra, you'll be the next caller. The level of support or lack of support that Keir Starmer should be offering to Donald Trump as they talk of airstrikes on Iran. Keir, citing international law, saying no use of the RAF bases. We'll come back. We'll come back to that in a moment. But the bigger story of the decade, possibly even the century, continues to rumble on. And now some newspapers, I'll say the Journalist actually, and there's a title one that has not joined this hue and cry. Some newspapers are calling it by exactly, where is...
I've just started having a career in writing novels, but I have a career as a writer, but nobody, I didn't talk about it. So now I'm just getting strength. And so every single time I, like today, launch another book, it gives me more confidence and I get more strength. But I'm beginning to show the true Sarah now, but it's taken a long road. And I think life is about a long road. And I think it's about learning to be a better person every day.
Sarah Ferguson speaking back in 2023. Zoe Williams, columnist for The Guardian, joins me now. Zoe, you'll be aware that some of your female counterparts on other organs are saying we need to hear from her and even possibly Eugenie and Beatrice. Where are you on that, Zoe? Good morning.
Good morning. So I don't think Eugenie and Beatrice, I don't think this can be stuck on them, really. I think it will be quite unfair because they ultimately were not responsible for their parents' actions. During large periods of it, they were very young, and it would have been completely normalised, that relationship. So I think to expect those two to have kind of an independent stance and have acted differently is not reasonable. Sarah Ferguson, she's like undeniably one of the most lickspittle members of, you know, any inner circle with Jeffrey Epstein.
Why? I mean, what examples do you point to?
Well, the examples I point to were, firstly, that she was, I think, she and her daughters were the first people to visit him in Miami Beach when he was released from prison. Secondly, there's that appalling email from her where she needs £20,000 for rent. Mm. And she said, and she says to him, any brainwaves? You know, and it's so obvious and naked, a kind of begging for money, but it's delivered in that euphemistic kind of quite slightly chiseling way that sort of defines, you know, that's all we know about Sarah Ferguson since she divorced Andrew in the 80s. All we know about her is that she constantly needs money and she'll do anything for it.
Can I put it to you, Zoe? It's almost like, oh, I'm an innocent female. Help. Can you think how I can get some cash or can I run your estate for you or whatever it might be?
Well, exactly. And I think it does show. No, I mean, I don't know. You're trying to frame it as like a damsel in distress narrative. I'm trying to frame it as a kind of disgusting posh person, one hand washes the other narrative. Mm. Whichever one it is, it's kind of really sickening to watch. And it does paint a picture of somebody who would sell anything for money.
We don't know what the situation with Andrew Mountbatten Windsor will be, but will Sarah Ferguson ever able to be rehabilitated in the eye of the British public?
I doubt it. You know, I think the thing is, even for Eugenie and Beatrice, even if people don't blame them, it's going to be a long time, if ever, that they're on the pages of Hello magazine again. Because yes. Even if it's not their fault, they remind everybody of this really grim and grotesque story about British culture at its highest echelons. You know, kind of cover-ups and lies and turning a blind eye. And all the worst thing you think about the establishment is in this story. And they cannot help but remind you of it. So I think even for them, it's very, very difficult to imagine them having a role in public life. And for Sarah Ferguson, I think she's stuffed.
Finally, as a broadcaster, a columnist and author, know not to pull her punches. What level of sympathy, if any, for King Charles?
Oh, no, that's interesting. I mean, it always used to be said, even before anything was really stuck on Andrew, that Charles had very little patience with him, and he was only kind of tolerating and indulging him because of the Queen. I don't know. I don't know about the psycho genre of this family. A lot of them seem to not really like each other. I think embedded wealth is bad for a family. I think it makes them kind of pathetic.
I wouldn't mind trying.
But you know, I don't know whether that, I don't know what that means for their interpersonal relations. But I'm not prepared to tar Charles with Andrew's brush because I just don't think he liked him.
Zoe Williams, columnist of The Guardian, broadcaster and author. Better say after that last comment, of course, you can all do it together, shall I? Andrew Mountbatten Windsor denies any wrongdoing. We'll return to that story in a moment. 5 to 8. Chandra in Newcastle, thank you for hanging on the line. What level of support should we offer to the US as regards potential operations in Iran? Good morning.
Very good morning, Nick. I have no legal training, but I'm approaching this purely on the strength of what we know about US's intervention in the Middle East and East generally over the last 25 years. And there are two serious concerns. Number one, Donald Trump has proved himself to be, especially in the last 18 months, that he is an unreliable and untrustworthy arbiter.
I agree. But does that mean you allow the murdering to go on?
Okay, and that brings me to my second point. Now, what's happening in Iran is unbelievable, despicable, and I have friends who are directly affected by it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
well, we all know somebody who's from Iran and who's affected by it. So it is sadly the case.
So but, what do we do? Hopefully, as a responsible nation, do we just watch?
Well, if we don't have the post-intervention strategy fully ironed out, we should not get involved, because Iran is much more complicated than Iraq, many times more complicated than Afghanistan. And the loose cannons that it will set off, our unprepared intervention.
Why does everything always have to be, oh, it's just like Iraq, oh, it's just like Afghanistan? Why can't it be like Kosovo?
Because Iran is a many times larger country than Kosovo, and Iran's involvement.
But it's you just watch people being murdered or ethnically cleansed in the case of Kosovo, and you seem to say, "Yeah, this one we shall." And I just have a real issue with that, Chandra.
I'm not advocating on sitting on our bums and doing nothing. What I'm saying is that it's extremely important that we think about the consequences, the proxies. Which rely and which support Iranian regime in the region and beyond, how will we deal with them? And how will we deal with Iran's link, with Iran's strong relationships with China?
Well, all right, we'll do it your way, Chandra. We'll just let the murdering continue. It's probably at 30,000 now. Give it another week, it'll probably be 30,000, 40,000, and we'll just continue to have words.
We're still allowing five to ten people being killed in Gaza.
They're not mutually exclusive, these horrors, are they? Why is it everyone is so focused? Oh, if it's going on in Gaza, it can go on there, it can go on in the Yemen, it can go on... The love of God, why don't we try and do something? Chandra, have yourself a safe day. Thank you. Nazir in Wimbledon. Nazir, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I think I really like Nick, but sometimes you really do push the boundaries.
Uh-oh.
I actually appreciate that things are, you know, need to be understood on their merit. But there's an underlying current here that we're just ignoring here, which is, why do we always want to impose, or why does USA always want to impose their morals, their voice, their way of living other nations?
Okay. Are you happy with Iran having a nuclear bomb?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have one.
Hang on a second. Do you know, I thought you said yes.
On USA, why?
You are happy with Iran developing nuclear capability?
100%. Why should they not?
Because they're run by someone who's a leadership that have admitted to killing 3,500 of their own and imprisoning 40,000 people. That does not sound to me like a responsible
USA,
country.
USA.
Oh, don't be silly. If you're going to talk to me about ICE shootings, which are despicable, reprehensible and wrong, it is not on the same scale.
Take it back to what you just said. They're nuclear equipped.
Yes, they're also a democracy where they don't shoot 3,500 people in the streets and arrest 40,000 others.
Ask them. They're not democratic.
All right. I respect you, but we're not going to be able to have a conversation, Nazir. Because what would you call the presidential elections if they're not democracy?
They're not democracy. What are they? They may have democratic vote, but that doesn't mean they're democratic country. They're two different things, Nick.
All right, sir. Have a safe one. There is no further road to go on that. I've gone as far as I can. If you can't accept, I'm not saying that you have to like the result, but it is what's known as democracy that gave the United States President Trump. Nazir, thank you. Be safe. But on this time, just going to have to utterly disagree. Should we come back to events here in the United Kingdom? And...
Doe, a deer, a female deer.
The government is allowed to allow landowners and hunters to shoot deer at night in an attempt to curb soaring herd numbers. When did you last see a deer loose? Plus, we return to the big story. Whatever happened to respect?
Charles! Charles! Have you pressurised the police? He's not investigating Andrew!
How long have you been about this?
What's your reaction to your brother's arrest, sir?
From Essex through Lancashire into central London, the King being heckled. Unimaginable. News is next.
On your radio. On the LBC app. And...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, police are set to continue searches at Royal Lodge, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. Officers are looking into allegations that Andrew shared documents with Jeffrey Epstein when he was Britain's trade envoy. Andrew has been released under investigation following his arrest yesterday on suspicion of misconduct in public office. LBC's reporter Fraser Knight is in Windsor with the latest.
Teams are continuing their work here at Andrew's former home of more than 20 years. Uniformed officers will have been here overnight holding the fort as teams work their way through the 30-bed mansion, looking for computers, hard drives, anything that can help with an investigation.
The former prince is the first senior royal to be arrested in nearly 400 years. Neil Basu is a former assistant commissioner of the Metropolitan Police and co-host of the global podcast The Crime Agents. He told LBC that investigations are likely to take weeks, perhaps even months.
There's no evidence outstanding. It implies to me that they're still obviously looking for evidence to back up the allegation and prove or disprove the offence. Any decent senior investigating officer will have made no judgments, and neither should we, about whether somebody is guilty or innocent. They'll just be looking for the evidence to prove or disprove the offence.
President Trump has reacted to Andrew's arrest, describing the situation as very sad. In a statement yesterday, the King expressed deep concern and said the law must take its course. Royal historian Robert Hardman has told LBC News there's not much more Charles can say right now.
Special messages from the monarch, you have to deploy what I would call scarcity value. They have to be when there's something really big happens. If the monarch starts offering a running commentary, then people are going to want him to comment on everything all the time. You know, when I saw those people yesterday shouting in the street, what are you going to say about Andrew? He can't say anything. He put out a carefully worded statement saying the law must take its course. That's all he can say.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always strongly denied any wrongdoing over his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Do stay with LBC for the latest. One other story, it's reported that the government's blocked the United States from using two British military bases for potential strikes on Iran. Two sites previously used by the Americans were mentioned by President Trump in his criticism of the UK's Chagos deal on Wednesday. Washington is continuing to pressure Iran to pause its nuclear programme. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 25 at 10,652. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy morning for most. Some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
I've got that feeling. Yeah. Butterflies in the stomach. Yeah. My heart is racing. I'm smiling for no reason at all. Yeah. I can't think about anything else.
Well, what's their name?
It's Škoda.
With 0% APR for 3 years across the Škoda range with Solutions PCP, it's love at first drive. But this love story ends March 1st, so visit Škoda.co.uk. Indemnities may be required. Maximum 36-month term. Škoda Finance.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after nine, Friday, February the 20th. Coming up in this hour, the government will allow landowners and hunters to shoot deer at night in an attempt to curb soaring numbers. It is reported that we have the highest deer population in 1,000 years. Question, when did you last, I don't mean at the zoo, or in a park such as Greenwich, when did you actually last see a deer in the wild? They can be very, very dangerous. Also, officials are exploring the idea of feeding people venison in hospitals, schools and prisons. When did you last taste venison? What's it like? Is it a meat you want to eat? In other news... US President Donald Trump says he will direct US agencies, including the Defense Department, to, quote, begin the process of identifying and releasing government files on, yes, you guessed it, UFOs. And later in the hour, we come back to that story concerning Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. King Charles being shouted at and heckled as if he was a failing politician or the manager of a football club about to go into the relegation zone. I'll ask, whatever happened to respect?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Now, if you're living in the heart of London, or the heart of another of our major cities, such as, I don't know, Manchester or dear old Leicester, it's unlikely that you've seen a deer trotting down the high street. But if you live in Leicestershire, if you live in the Home Counties, if you live in Cheshire, how much of a problem are they? Because it is reported that we have the highest deer population in 1,000 years. And as a result, the government is to allow... It doesn't even seem to be as a review, because they love reviews, but this is on landowners and hunters to shoot deer at night, it says here. Why isn't that most dangerous when, I don't know, there could be a courting couple in the woods and you miss the deer and you hit the courting couple, couldn't you? I don't know. I've never shot a deer. The governor's made the change as part of a new strategy to protect Britain's woodland. Britain is home to approximately 2 million deer. Obviously, I can't give you a completely accurate number. How many deer are there in this country? There's only one way to find out. LBC's Henry Riley embarks on a nationwide... No, I'm only kidding. 2 million deer, which often destroy woodland and hedges that house rare birds like the nightingale. I said earlier, as well as exploring more shooting, venison could be fed into hospitals, schools and prisons. Shooting more deer after dark will help reduce numbers. Why after dark? Oh, this is because they only come out of the woods at night. Here we go. I see. And feed in open fields. The government is also to consult on allowing male deer to be shot all year round, rather than having a close season. That change was made in 2023 in Scotland, where red deer stags can now be shot for the entire year. Emily Norton is a farmer in Norfolk, joins me now. How's the world of farming? Good morning.
It's wet, Nick. It's very, very wet.
And yeah, tough.
And tough. No farmer is ever happy when it's raining.
What do you farm?
We here actually have a small farm. We're only about 157 acres. Appreciate that's a bit bigger than most people's back gardens. But at the moment, it's all managed under an environmental stewardship scheme. So we are delivering public goods for the government.
Well done. Please tell me you don't border on Sandringham.
We don't.
Thank God. Well, we can talk about farming then. I would imagine that you have issues with deer. If you've got 150 plus acres, you probably have all sorts of issue with deer. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. We are trying to, being a small farm, doing kind of Jeremy Clarkson scale commercial farming is not going to be for us. So we're trying to work out what we can do on a relatively small scale. And so we recently put in thinking about how the weather is changing and it's getting hotter and drier in this part of Norfolk, especially, and we already lack rain. Anyway, I talk about it being too wet. It's either too wet or too dry. Anyway, vineyard. We put in two acres of vines.
How interesting.
18 months ago. And the first thing we were told was you need to keep the deer out because the deer will just browse the grapes.
Are you with a view to a white or a red? What does the soil permit, would you say, Emily?
It will be white. When we finally welcome climate migrants to the farm in serious numbers, we might be able to serve them a decent red. But for the time being, the English climate means it's likely to be white wine only.
How are you going to protect your vine? How many acres of vines have you put in?
Just 2 acres, so it's teeny tiny compared to what's going on down in kind of Kent and Sussex. But it was an interesting idea we all agreed on as a family, as something fun that we could do. So we're doing that. But what we've also doing is that the government in England. So this announcement from government is quite England focused because Scotland have been doing a lot of this for a long time. In the woodland creation targets, there's a scheme that landowners can apply for called the England Woodland Creation Offer. We want to put about 2 hectares of woodland in, so that's about, try and do the maths, times 2.47. I can't do that, my head is too early.
Don't worry. Of
woodland. And in order to be able to get the sort of, it's taxpayer funded, in order to be able to get that support, we have to put a fence around it, a big deer fence, a 6-foot fence.
Sorry, is that like chain link or wood or what is the fence?
It's wire, basically. Right. So it's big enough that, say, a rabbit could still get through it, but it will stop all of the types of deer getting in. And you can only claim this money from the government to support woodland planting if you put this big fence around it.
So do you have to pay for the fence or that you get a grant?
Part of it. We get some grant. It's about 2/3 of it is covered by grant and the rest the landowner has to pay for. But because we can use that to fence our vineyard in as well and the rest of the farm, we finished it like 2 weeks ago, finally excluded deer from the whole farm. And so I'm very interested to find out how what impact it has on the landscape here when we finally are able to say, yep, there's no deer in this space at all.
Ever eaten venison?
I have.
Tasty?
I have. I'm astonished you haven't, Nick. I mean, it is sort of widely available.
I have, but I want to know what you think.
You Waitrose shopper, you know, you can get it here, there, and everywhere, can't you? So, I mean, and it's great, but that's the interesting thing, and I think sort of the subtext of this, like, you know, we try and market venison in this country as a really expensive meat, but actually, if it's freely available, and I think 2 million deer is a dramatic underestimation of how many deer there actually are. if it's more freely available and we want to get it into the NHS and we want to provide it cheaply, we need to think about like where it actually sits as a premium meat.
How long before I can come up and share a glass of white wine with you? When will it be ready?
Give it a year.
A year. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Be well. Thanks for your time. Good luck with your good luck with your farming. Emily Norton, a Norfolk farmer. Listening, Jennifer White, who's a spokesperson from the animal rights group PETA, and joins us now. Where are you on the idea of a cull, government-authorised cull? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I mean, look, killing wild deer in England has been going on for decades, and yet this perceived problem of overpopulation remains completely unresolved. And it's because we know that killing deer only results in a temporary drop in population numbers, which then, of course, is followed by an accelerated breeding of the survivors who then have more access to food. And, you know, that's why we see these culls being suggested year on year. But, you know, not only are these methods completely ineffective, but they're also cruel. You know, deer deserve to live out their lives in peace. And honestly,
well, so do nightingales.
Shameful that the government wants to take their lives away by blasting them with guns.
But so do nightingales and other birds that are having their wild woodlands and hedges destroyed on their nests.
But, you know, we're talking about here, you know, that hunters, many don't even get a clear shot the first time round, which leaves animals to endure these slow and painful deaths. And we know that there are humane solutions available. So don't we owe it to these animals who are a beloved part of England's wildlife?
What are the humane solutions?
It can be as simple as targeting their food sources, and that can mean trimming back low-hanging tree branches, keeping grasses cut short, and then, of course, building barriers around saplings and other trees or other, crops that you don't want them to have access to. And there's also deer netting or mesh. And, you know, we really do owe it to these animals whose habitat has been taken from them. You know, we need to remember that we are the ones who have started farming in their homes, building roads their homes.
But we need to use these options. You must surely support people being in employment and wherever we can, eating homegrown produce, surely.
Well, don't you think it suits the hunting industry to play up the damage that is being done by deer? And I think most people would agree that it's absurd to suggest killing animals to protect trees and crops.
I mean, I'm reading the copy in one of the newspapers, the Daily Telegraph, and Chris Packham, someone who I'm sure you know of, or you may indeed know, the Wildlife TV show presenter, to ensure we establish the richest mosaic of habitats in Britain, we unfortunately have to make some hard choices, and managing a burgeoning population of deer is one of them. This is about culling management. And I have to say, Jennifer White, I'm going to listen to Mr. Packham. Why shouldn't I?
Well, because England is home to the deer as well. We introduced them into this country. We built roads through their homes.
So we allow them to destroy businesses.
The least we can do is try to live alongside them.
We allow them to destroy businesses, Jennifer.
Well, you know, the lovely farmer that you just had on, she said that they used fencing. And that, you know, that had completely prevented deer from getting near her grapevine.
It's around a million. Again, you might question this figure. Lastly, deer are blamed for eating farmers' crops. Some landowners reporting losses of £1 million a year. That's not the whole of the country. That's one landowner. That's unsustainable, surely.
The least we can do is try to live alongside.
All right. Jennifer White, thank you. You're with the animal rights group PETA. Who's right, who's wrong on the deer cull? Take your calls after this. 9:15, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Police are due to resume their search of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. The former prince was released under investigation last night following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And it's reported the government has blocked the US from using two British military bases for any potential strike on Iran. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy morning for most, some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne, where one lane stays closed on the A12 northbound at Harold Wood. It's following an accident. In Norbury, Recreation Way stays closed in both directions, also after an accident. On the trains, Greater Anglia, Stansted Express and Weaver Line services are delayed to and from Liverpool Street, and that's because of a track problem. Still some minor delays on South Eastern and Thames Link services between Rochester and Raynham after an investigation earlier. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Piccadilly line because of the ongoing strike, and also on the Metropolitan line there's no service from Harrow on the Hill up to Amersham, Chesham and Watford, and that's because of the engineering works.
This is LBC.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options, so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Fly into flip-flop mode. There's still time to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Stuck waiting again.
Tell me about it. I've spent all morning trying to get through to my GP.
Oh, I ditched that stress and joined Benenden Health. They've got 24/7 GP helpline. No waiting rooms, no sitting around.
Really? Sounds like a great service, unlike this one.
We're just about to get moving again. Press play on your health with the 24/7 GP helpline and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Doe, a deer, a female deer, but doe, is it time to shoot them? Vicky's in Brentwood. I'm Brentwood. What do you say, Vicky? Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call, Nick.
Happened in Brentwood 25 years ago today? Vicky? 25 years ago today in Brentwood in Essex.
Well, is it political?
No. Rural.
Was the nuclear bunker opened?
Nope. The first case of foot and mouth.
Oh, right, I do remember.
We're going to have a report next week. I don't know whether you were around, but that led to the cull of thousands and thousands of animals and farmers going bust.
It did indeed.
Yep. All started in Brentwood 25 years ago today. Full report in next week's show. Right, Vicky, what's the problem with deer in Brentwood?
Right, I live 10 miles, literally, from the Havering border, so that's how close we are to London.
Yep.
In the road I live, I'm very fortunate, I back onto forest.
How lovely.
We have daily up to 40 deer in the fields adjacent to the lanes that
Seriously?
We go down. Yes, I'm being serious.
My gosh.
After dark, you can only travel at about 15 miles an hour down the country lane because we know as locals that they'll come out. Now, 3 years ago, I had my car written off by a deer coming out very fast off the golf course.
Did it come into the side of the car, the front of the car? What happened?
It came onto the front, and my husband and I were very lucky to survive because had it been another foot forward, we would have been not here today.
So, was it a stag that hit you?
It was a huge stag. Mm. Others came and helped me because I couldn't deal with it. It was horrendous. And I also have another person I know of who lost her foot as a result of an accident on these lanes.
How recently was that?
That was probably about 10 years ago.
Oh, right.
Now, I love these creatures. I think they're beautiful. When I was doing my teaching at the local pub, I used to teach first aid, I used to suddenly realise that nobody was listening or looking at me because they were all watching the deer in the garden of the pub. It's a daily occurrence.
Really?
So, to see them being killed on the road, normally, probably once a month, I'll see a dead deer in the road, on the main roads here. Because people that don't know the locality don't realise you have to drive slower because you may get them coming out. We're unlit in most of these areas.
Are you out by Stondon Massey? Is that where you're?
Yes. I'm near Kilton Hatch.
I had a father-in-law who lived in Stondon Massey many years ago, so I know exactly where you are. I would imagine then, lastly, Vicky, you are in support of this cull.
Well, The idea of these lovely creatures being shot, I don't like. Mm. I do think there needs to be management. We have Southwell Park, and years ago it used to be fenced off, and the deer were in there. Now they don't seem to contain them anymore. I know they've got some numbers that's probably not going to be manageable, but I would rather see them being contained in the parklands and maybe some form of limitation on their breeding. I don't know how. I'm not a vet.
No.
But I don't like the idea, and I know that there are people out at night shooting them here.
Vicky, safe driving, I can understand why all the locals have a concern, and you've reminded me of a story that I have to tell. Many years ago, as I have told you, I used to work in the United States, and one time I was driving home from Manhattan to my house in Westchester County, which is a bit like the sort of Surrey, I suppose, outside New York. Drive about an hour and 15 minutes. Massive, what they call news cruiser. So it's the car that you can put the whole crew in and the kit. So it is, I mean, it's probably the length of a Ford Transit van built by Chevrolet. It was a huge, huge vehicle. And I'm driving home along this country road. And suddenly, as much as Vicky's story there, this enormous deer jumped out right in front of the car. So it had huge horns. So I obviously braked, didn't brake in time, smashed into this deer, leapt and fell into the air, crashed to the ground. So obviously I pull up, I go past it, and I walk up, and this deer is flat out on its ground, bleeding badly, and it's twitching, but it's still alive. And I think, the hell do I... I'm out in the middle... Oh, if you don't know Westchester County, it's right out, way. I don't even know if my mobile phone would have worked. So I think, well, I can't leave the port. What am I going to do? So I'm standing there thinking, in a business suit, of course, obviously, the business jacket. What am I going to do? And this van pulled up. This is like being in the Carolinas. This van pulled up, and it's one of those flatbed trucks, you know. So it's not a clothes van. It's like a Chevy truck, is what I'm trying to say. And this guy jumped out in a check shirt and a baseball cap, came up, dragged the deer, had like a board, dragged it out and just slung it on the back. And I said, Are you taking it, typical English, are you taking it to the vet? No, son, I'm going to skin it and eat it. And off it went. That was my deer hunter story. Man, I know, and it made a damn big dent in a huge Chevrolet car. So there are problems with deer. Enough of my stories. Simon in Wimborne. Simon, do we need a deer cull? Good morning.
Good morning. Absolutely, definitely. Last year, I was driving, I'm a gardener, I was driving to work, country lane, and I hit a deer in a big 4x4, and it wrote my car off.
I think I was lucky the car ran then. I'm lucky it didn't write that Chevy off. My goodness. Were you injured in any way, Simon?
Smell of this deer splattered all over the front of my car.
Were you injured in any way, Simon?
No injuries. But they need to use the resource and use and cull them with the types of guys that do it up in Scotland. It's all done humanely. You know,
And lastly, to those who say, obviously, it's cruel and unfair to animals, just a quick response, if you would.
Well, it's not cruel to animals if it's done properly.
All right, Simon, thank you. We're battling with a little bit of line, but they managed to ride. What's your 4x4? What sort of 4x4 was it?
Nissan Navara.
Nissan Navara. I'm not familiar with that, but it'd been a chunky vehicle. Simon, safe driving to you now. Oh, Simon the first to Simon the second. Good day, Simon in Leeds. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
How you doing, Nick? You okay?
Good, thank you. Yes.
Good. Yeah, Nick. I'm a deer stalker. I shoot about between 30 and 50 deer a year for farmland, crop protection,
right.
Ornamental gardens, woodland.
Tell me, what's the life like of a deer stalker?
Hey there.
Yeah, I'm playing deer hunter under you. Keep going, Simon. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I'm busy. I mean, busy kind of all year round, really. You know, go to various places, Northern England and Scotland.
What do you do with them when you shoot them? Do they go to the local butchers? What happens?
No, I make my own sausages.
Right.
Sausage making machine. So I did a load of venison and cranberry just before Christmas.
Is it like golf courses? Who employs you? Golf courses and places like that?
I've got two farms where I've got permission to go.
They're arable farms where they do a lot of crop damage. And he loses about £500,000 a year in crops.
Half a million pounds a year?
£500,000 a year in crop damage, yeah.
My God.
And I also stalk on some ornamental gardens up in North Yorkshire.
Okay.
A big estate up there. So, yeah, I mean, there's a hell of a lot of deer. And you're saying that, you know, to people, when was the last time you saw deer on the loose? They're not that easy to see. I mean, obviously, you know, they are generally nocturnal.
Yeah.
But
so do you have you obviously have night sights, do you, or night goggles?
I don't actually shoot them at night. I'm one that goes out very early morning,
right,
or last thing at night. But
right.
But I mean, nothing gets wasted. And these people that say it's cruel, if they eat meat, then, you know, they can't say it's cruel because it's done in a lot cleaner manner, and it's a purest form of harvesting meat, to be perfectly honest with you.
What, lastly, I know nothing about guns, but what was that, a rifle you'd use then, or a shot?
Yeah, it's a rifle, yeah. I use a 308 round, which is quite a large round for red deer and roe deer.
Right, what's a 308? Would that be like a military rifle?
That's the size of the bullet. That's the bullet round in 308.
Right, would that be a military-style rifle then, Simon?
No, it's not a bullet. It's a hunting rifle.
Oh, it's a hunting gun, I see.
It's designed for stalking and what have you.
Safe shooting, safe hunting. Simon the Deer Stalker, thank you. Claire's in Gloucester. Claire, how often do you see wild deer? Good morning.
I see them all the time. Well, at the moment, in the winter, I see them all the time dead on the A419.
Right. Where is the A419?
The A419 runs between Gloucester and Cirencester.
Oh, okay, right.
So it's loads there, dead on the side of the road, quite a lot. And in the summer, I'm the southwest corner of Gloucester. I'm sort of, you know, in the suburbs, as it were.
Right.
There's some fields at the back, and I used to see them up there during the spring, summer, grazing on wheat, maize, depending which field it is.
Right.
There are loads of them. And I moved from Kent, and I used to see them. I was only about a mile off the A21.
Where are
and
you?
And used to see herds of them.
A21, that's the one goes through Sevenoaks,
yeah,
isn't it, down to
south
Tunbridge?
South of Tunbridge Wells.
Right, okay.
And used to see them, herds of them, on the road and running through the orchards. And also my neighbour there, he was on call for highways if people hit one and didn't kill it, and he used to shoot, so he would go out with his gun and finish the poor little things off.
Which asks me, you say poor little things, and they're going to be absolutely beautiful to look at. So I have to ask you, Claire of Gloucester, do you support the cull?
I do. I also eat venison. I get a nice pack, and it has sausages, and it has venison steak, it has venison mince.
It's meant to be very healthy. It's meant to be. Is it fairly fat?
Like,
is it cholesterol free or something?
It is. It's very, very lean. It's like very, very lean beef, and you can substitute it in any beef recipe. And I use it all the time.
Claire, thank you for the talk. The view from Gloucester. Again, all around the country, we'll continue with views on that. And remember, an associated story. We might start feeding it to people in hospital, school children, and prisoners because we've got so much of it. So many people ringing, by the way. I wonder how close to the centre of London or Leicester or Manchester we can get. Wouldn't you see one just walking up an urban street, a deer, just like fox. Hang on a second. If we can shoot deer, why can't we shoot foxes? Hang on a second. Because they are nothing but a menace. So if we have a government-authorised cull of... Why can't... Because if you live in a city, the problem of foxes, mate, ripping your garbage apart, and pooping in the garden, just generally being in your... Right, let's have a fox cull. That's what I say. We'll take more views on that. Also, coming up after the news, is there life out there?
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility.
But the question is, Mr. President Barack Obama, how do you know? What's the evidence? What have you seen that we haven't? We'll get into that because Donald Trump says he's going to direct agencies to begin some of the identification of UFOs. It's 9:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara on LBC, and here's the news, Dominic Ellis.
Police are set to continue searches at Royal Lodge, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. Andrew has been released under investigation following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Officers are looking into allegations that he shared documents with Jeffrey Epstein when he was Britain's trade envoy. Mr. Mountbatten Windsor has previously denied any wrongdoing over his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. The Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper will meet her US counterpart in Washington to discuss Britain's Chagos Islands deal. The Indian Ocean territory, which is home to a UK-US airbase, is due to be returned to Mauritius, but Donald Trump described the deal as a big mistake earlier this week, despite previously backing the plan. And official figures show the government's finances had the biggest surplus since records began in 1993. The ONS says tax revenues were £30.4 billion higher than public spending in January. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy start for many. Some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
This is LBC.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. Or wobbly, or wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Oh, actually, this is very relaxed.
George is up the River Cam without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story.
Whether you still own it or not, if you had a diesel car built between 2009 and 2020, you could be entitled to compensation. Checking takes minutes at jointheclaim.com, and if successful, compensation could be worth thousands. Diesel emissions claims are still open for Ford, Nissan, Renault, Mercedes, BMW and Jaguar Land Rover. Don't miss out. Join millions of drivers across the UK. Check your vehicle now at jointheclaim.com.
Join the claim!
You know that feeling when your money is working for you? No? Well, make it! Open an investment account at XTB, make your first deposit and receive a free Rolls-Royce stock.
Rolls-Royce?
That's right. Own one of the best performing UK stocks this year for free. And if you like it, you can easily buy more stocks and ETFs with 0% commission. Join XTB and let your money work for you.
Your capital is at risk. Investments above €100,000 are charged at 0.2% commission. FX fees may apply. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
When?
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
It was so good.
We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
So many of you wanting to have your say about deer. Stephen Chidley's picked up on the words from the representative Peter. So according to Peter, rather than cull them with a potentially painless bullet, starve them to death by removing the food source. Surely that's ill-informed. Good point you make there, actually. Ian says, shooting deer quickly and humanely is a great idea. The meat should go to the poor in this country as a replacement for the current junk food they are fed. And this comes from Tom in Godstone. I'm a deer stalker. I manage a small patch of land in West Sussex. The worst cut of venison is comparable to a fillet of beef if cooked correctly. It's delicious. It's unfathomable. We're importing venison from New Zealand with such a heavy population of wild, well-kept and healthy meat within our countryside. Let's take another call on that. Ian's in Fordingbridge. Ian, what do you want to say to this? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. Hi, can you hear me?
Perfectly. Go ahead. Have you got a lot of deer in Fordingbridge?
Yeah, yeah. So I live just outside Fordingbridge in Sandypools Estate in the New Forest.
Oh, right.
And we have free roaming deer around here, and they run through the holiday park every few weeks.
Right.
They are so majestic.
They are. They move very gracefully, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And then, but when you're up into the forest proper, I say about half a mile.
Yeah.
There is big herds of deer in the New Forest. But yeah,
well, give me a big. How big is a big herd? How many deer are we talking about?
Probably about 30, I would say.
Right. Yeah, it's sizable.
And you're driving and you see one or two and you think everything is all right, and then the rest of them just run in front of you regardless. I think they're very majestic, very very. Loving.
They are, but they're causing a lot of damage. They can ripe £1 million off a farmer's books.
Yes, yes, I understand that. But where I live in the New Forest, they are now to run freely, and they have done for centuries.
You appreciate not everyone's. You know, if you and I were running a golf course in Kent, we might have a slightly different view.
Yeah, definitely. Or. Yeah, possibly. But certainly the deer here in the New Forest, I would be very against the cull.
All right. So in certain circumstances, Ian, you are supportive. Remember, we have, it is reported, and I don't know how they count them, but supposedly we now have the highest deer population in the whole of the United Kingdom, so not just England, the whole of the United Kingdom, for 1,000 years. Well, we've got a rough idea of numbers then of the deer, but we've got no idea of numbers of aliens or UFOs. Here is former US President Barack Obama saying they do exist. He was on the Brian Tyler Cohen podcast.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
So what is the reality, former President Obama? Current President Trump reacted.
Barack Obama said that aliens are real. Have you seen any evidence of non-human visitors to Earth?
Well, he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
You know, so aliens are real?
Well, I don't know if they're real or not. I can tell you he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
He made
a big mistake. He took it out of classified information. No, I don't have an opinion on it. I never talk about it. A lot of people do. A lot of people believe it.
Now on Truth Social, President Trump has said after accusing Barack Obama of revealing classified information, he's not supposed to be doing that. On Truth Social, he says there's no underground facility, but the comments have been made. And now there is an indication that Donald Trump says he could direct US agencies, including the Defense Department, to, and I quote, begin the process of identifying and releasing government files. So is there, or are there not UFOs out there? To Nick Pope, former official in UK Ministry of Defence for more than two decades, run its now closed down unit investigating UFO sightings, joining us from Tucson, Arizona. Good to have you on. First question, pretty straightforward one. Do you believe they exist? Good morning.
Yes, I do. To quote former President Obama, they're real.
What informs you of that view, Mr. Pope?
Well, I think it's two sides to that. Firstly, as Obama said, in an infinite universe, I mean, it's inconceivable we are alone. But bringing it closer to home, I think the critical mass of UFO information that's now building up is building an extraordinary case. And this presidential dogfight, and I'm calling it that deliberately, is quite unprecedented and absolutely extraordinary.
Subsequently, in a post, President Obama said, I saw no evidence during my presidency that extraterrestrials have made contact with us, full stop, really, exclamation mark. In the work you did, unless you signed the Official Secrets Act, what did you see?
Well, I did sign the Official Secrets Act, but I saw consistently evidence of structured craft in UK airspace that had penetrated our sophisticated air defence network, speeds, manoeuvres and accelerations beyond the cutting edge of our own aerospace tech. These things are now not only just seen by the pilots, but tracked on radar, filmed on forward-looking infrared cameras, picked up on satellite. I mean, it's almost getting to the point where I say to people, what more do you want?
Why would it appear governments choose to sit on this knowledge that they might possess?
I think there's two sides to that. The first is technology acquisition. If we're being visited, we're clearly looking at a technology orders of magnitude above and beyond anything we've got. And we don't want that falling into the hands of an adversary like China or Russia. But the other side is a wider societal side, I think, in terms of the impact. This would have such deep and profound implications for politics, religion, science, technology, and the economy that governments are rightly, I think, wary of just putting it all out there. We're sitting on a powder keg as it is, looking around the world in terms of geopolitics. Throw aliens into the mix, and who knows what will happen.
What should the ordinary person's reaction, Mr. Pope, be towards a UFO? Should we be thrilled, fearful, cautious, nervous, happy? What would you say?
Kind of all of the above, because we still don't really know what we're dealing with. If we're being interacted with by another intelligence, all we really know is it's smarter than us, which is kind of a bit scary. But we don't even know if they're biological or AI. And either way, we don't know if they're friendly, hostile, or neutral.
Right. Are you living in Tucson or just visiting at the moment?
Living there. I've lived there for 13 years now.
I have read that sometimes areas such as Arizona, which have wide open spaces, can be home to UFOs. Did that inform your decision to move at all?
Not at all. Right. Having said that, it's beautiful, and I haven't seen anything yet, but I hope to.
Well, as you're unlikely to face extradition over this, can I ask you what was the most compelling piece of evidence that you're able to share with us during your work in that unit at the MOD?
It was a cold case review that I did at the Rendlesham Forest incident from 1980. We had radioactivity levels significantly higher than average background where something actually landed. And years later, some of the witnesses got a settlement from the VA here in the United States because they got too close to this thing and were exposed to radiation. And this got confirmed in a declassified Ministry of Defense intelligence assessment.
Sorry, the VA, Veterans or something? What is VA?
Yes, the Veterans Administration.
Veterans Administration. Wow, but there's still been a sort of semi-cover-up of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of out there, and yet it isn't. I mean, the Five Eyes Intelligence Sharing Alliance had a meeting at the Pentagon in May 2023. The Ministry of Defense sent two officials, and yet hardly anyone's aware of that. Not even sure the Defense Committee knows.
I have enjoyed our conversation. Thanks. It's probably very early in the morning for you. I do appreciate you too. Yeah, it wouldn't be late at night. It's early in the morning. Thank you. Nick Pope served in the MOD, Ministry of Defense, for more than 20 years, ran its unit, now closed down, investigating UFO sightings for around 4 years in the early 90s, and he was talking to us from Arizona. Well, that makes you think, doesn't it? That's some of the most compelling evidence. I wasn't aware of that incident revolving around radiation. We might return to that. So we're not sure about the number of UFOs. We are sure there's about a million pounds worth of damage being done in some of the states, as we have the deer population, the highest in 1,000 years. Jenny's in Seven Oaks. Ah. Now, if you go to Hever, is it Hever House, Hever Farm, Hever something or other? The deer are roaming there, aren't they? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Great big fan. I live on the Bee Road.
Yes.
Just outside of Ide Hill.
Yes.
We have a huge deer population. And my field, I was in my field cleaning my field the other day with my dog.
So your field, so have you got a horse or something like that? What have you got in
I've
your
I've got horses.
You've got horses.
Yeah, I've got horses.
Yeah.
So I was out cleaning the field. I had my back to the Bee Road. All of a sudden, a massive herd of about 50 deer came flying out.
Oh, my God.
From across the road, through my garden, through my field. I was standing in the middle of the field. All I could do was scream and flap my arms about. I don't know how they missed me. It's so dangerous.
Right.
They then got stuck in the corner of my field, and one got stuck, piled up in my fence.
Oh, no.
So I'm terrified now that they're going to pull my fencing down when I'm not here. My horses are going to get out on the Bee Road.
Oh, no. Oh, God. How often do you see the deer in your field? Is that quite regular, or was it very rare to see them in your field?
No. So it used to be very rare that we saw deer, but it's becoming more and more of a problem. We see more because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
So we started to see them when we're out riding. Of course, that's dangerous because they scare the horses. If they start running, they scare the horses.
Did the deer...
And that's the third time I've had that happen to me in my field now.
Did the deer disentangle itself?
Yes, it did. But in doing that, you see, it pulls a post out, starts pulling the fence down. I was just lucky I was there.
How many horses you got?
I've got two.
And of course, if they see they'll just go for a wander, won't they? Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, Jenny.
Yeah, I live in the middle of a chute. So all around me, there's a farmer's estate and they run a chute.
Yeah.
And I know that they do deer cull, and I've spoken to them. But unfortunately, they told me that they're only allowed to cull, they get a license. And their current license for the year, I think, was 150, but that's not going to touch the sides around here.
You support the cull, Lassie, I would imagine, Jenny.
But they're so dangerous. I've hit one on the road, because, as I said, I live on a B road.
Mm.
So although I make sure I don't go over 40, many people drive here at 60 miles an hour because you're allowed to.
Right.
I've come round a bend, and a big stag was standing right in front of me. I couldn't avoid it.
Yeah.
That cost thousands of pounds of damage to my car. That's a frequent occurrence that people hit them on this road. Frequent. I had one that was hit at my gate, and it was landing. It was dying in the middle of my drive.
Oh, no.
Luckily, again, the local estate. I know them, and I phoned them, and they took it for me. So
yeah, they sided it up. All right, Jenny. Well, obviously, you're worried about the horses. You say to Cullen, we'll have more calls. You have a safe weekend, Jenny. Thank you for that. Coming up after the news, whatever happened to respect?
Charles! Charles! Have you pressurised the police? He's not investigating Andrew!
What's your reaction to your brother's arrest, sir?
From Essex through Lancashire to central London, the heckles go on of the king. Alas, why has that respect diminished? Just 9:46, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Police are set to continue searches at Royal Lodge, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. The Foreign Secretary, Yvette Cooper, will meet her US counterpart in Washington to discuss the UK's Chagos Islands deal. And the government has announced plans to use drones to track illegal waste dumps in England. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy start for many, some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. On the trains, Greater Anglia Stansted Express services remain disrupted to and from Liverpool Street after a track problem from earlier, but the delays on the Weaver line are now starting to clear. Thames Link and South Eastern are delayed between Rochester and Raynham, and that's because of an ongoing investigation. On the Underground, because of the ongoing strike, there are minor delays on the Piccadilly line and no service on the Metropolitan line from Harrow-on-the-Hill to Amersham, Chesham and Watford, but that's because of the engineering works. On the roads, these problems in Norbury do continue. Recreation Way is closed in both directions following an accident, so all the buses that usually go that way remain on diversion.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
I think it's high time to ask whether the facts as we know them, and that's a crucially important, not to mention legally important distinction, could destroy the royal family.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Attention dogs, this is not a drill. If your dinner comes in dodgy brown balls or smells suspicious at best, you deserve to know this. Butternut Box makes fresh dog food with ingredients you'd find in your human's fridge. In fact, some humans have even tasted it. For quality control, obviously. Anyway, let's hope your human was listening. Butternut Box. Fresh food. Happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Bring your pensions together with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save one-third with off-peak group tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen, it's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of. But he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
You can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick
Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
There's no actual measure for a level of respect, is there? You can't say that there's a respect ratio, whatever it might be. But my goodness, it's changed just in my working life. Now, I remember, by the way, this wasn't my working life, but years and years ago, there was a Prime Minister called Harold Wilson who had major health issues. And it was decided by the press then that they would not reveal it, I repeat, not reveal it, as it was A, not fair to him, and B, it might damage the country, it might damage the value of the pound or whatever it might be. That was the level of respect that was afforded to politicians in those days. Now, of course, quite routinely, politicians get shouted at. Sometimes even they get things thrown at them, don't they? And that shows a level of respect, but it's quite something now when even a royal, and I speak of the monarch, is on the receiving end of...
Charles! Charles! Have you pressurised the police? He's not investigating Andrew!
What's your reaction to your brother's arrest, sir?
From a visit to Denton in Essex at the start of the month, through Clitheroe in Lancashire a few days after that, to yesterday, I think it was journalists probably shouting at the King at the London Fashion Week. So what has happened to respect? Unheard of, not that long ago, I would argue. William Hansen is an etiquette coach and author of Just Good Manners, also hosts podcast Help I Sexted My Boss alongside the great Jordan North, and joins me now. Whatever happened to respect, William? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for having me. I don't know, and it would be easy to blame the internet. I think that's definitely got something to do with it. Social media has sort of allowed people to say things that they would never dare say across the dining table, and this has then trickled into real life. And people sort of their online behaviour has influenced their offline behaviour, and also there is a trickle down effect. We have to be honest, from public figures, not just in this country, and in many different countries. If they shout, if they interrupt, if they insult each other, and behave with no courtesy and no awareness of the rules, the law in some instances, then I can see why the rest of us are thinking, well, why should we?
Let me ask you something. I've always had respect for the office, if not the office holder. Many years ago, there was a mayor of London called Ken Livingstone, and he did everything he possibly could to get me fired, including writing to LBC, Ofcom. I think he wrote to my late mother. He wrote to everyone he could possibly think of. But whenever I spoke to him, I always addressed him as Mr. Mayor, and I had respect for the office. Surely the same should apply to prime ministers, kings, queens, whatever it might be.
Yes, absolutely. Because remember, the King or the Prime Minister, they represent us. They represent the people. That's the whole point of a head of state or a head of government. And people are missing that. And maybe it's because these sort of basic manners or these sort of basic awareness of how our own country operates is not taught in schools like it should be. We're obsessed about banging on about the Romans or algebra, etc. And that's lovely to a point. And we do have to look at where we've come from to work out where we're going. But actually, teaching respect and civility in schools is needed more than ever. And the schools think the parents are doing it. The parents think the schools are doing it. And nobody is doing it.
Lastly, William, as an observer of these matters, are we talking stable doors and horses and bolting or something? We're never going to go back to those days, are we, with respect?
No, I think deference is dead. However, the good news is that manners are relatively resilient. Courtesy is a choice, and we can return to it quickly when people decide it matters. And I just hope that we, not just in this country, make that decision pretty quickly.
William Hansen, check him out with the great Jordan North on the podcast Help I Sexted My Boss, etiquette coach, and wrote Just Good Manners. William, thanks for that. Should we get into the world of aliens? Well, they are in the United States, with President Obama seeming to initially indicate yes, but then saying, no, I never saw anything really. And now President Trump saying that he might release some files. Peter's in Lavendon. Peter, your take on this. Good morning.
Yes, hello, good morning. I just did some research very, very briefly.
Oh, right. What have you discovered?
I've discovered that I'm not an alien and you're not an alien.
Nope, I'm pretty confident of that.
That's right. That there are more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on Earth.
Oh, my
God. Now, if you just start to put that into perspective, when you would go to the beach and see how many grains of sand, or to just go to the beach, or alternatively, taking it to a wider sense, if you look at the deserts, the Sahara and the Gobi,
yep.
Each grain of sand is a star. Our star is the sun. And it would beg the question, with those stars, are there planets?
Right.
So, but on the balance of probability, I would say Yes, there is.
I have to say, having spoken to Mr. Pope and others in the past, I'm not saying that I'm a fully signed up believer, but if suddenly the UK government, the US government, the Australian government was to release, yes, look, here's definitive proof, we have been scanned, we have been observed, we have been whatever, I'm not going to say I'd fall off my chair with shock. Would you?
No, I wouldn't. For the very reason that perhaps I just mentioned. It's just the balance of probability. You imagine it. We are the only people in all the billions and billions of grains of sand, which are stars, and those stars will have planets.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make sense? I mean, you're a sensible chap.
Well, I don't know about that. You've gone mad.
Oh, yes, you are. You're too modest.
You've lost the audience. You were doing fine until then. I think that's a great analogy. And I think, Peter, you and I are roughly on the same page. We probably still need to be convinced, but we, as I say to you, excuse the expression, we're not going to fall off our chair in shock. Peter, thank you for that. Should we talk a bit about manners? We're talking about that as a result of the king being shouted at. I mean, even in my... Well, I suppose I do go a long way back, actually. But that it was unheard of that you'd ever start hollering at a member of the royal family, let alone the monarch. Satie in Harrow. Satie, respect or manners? Which one do you want to address? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. What are you going to tell me?
Well, the first thing is, I think when it comes to respect or manners, it's just not the royal family. I think in general, people have kind of lost itself. Well, I, in the business industry itself. So let's suppose I was speaking to one of the suppliers I was speaking to, and being them being older than me in age, I was to just address them as sir or madam.
Right. What is it you want to say?
I think people shouting these things, it's definitely not the right thing to do. First is a monarch itself.
Of course.
And let's be honest, we wouldn't shout like this to our parents.
But is it, I wonder how much starts at school, because we were speaking, I think it was yesterday, with a head teacher who'd actually been assaulted by a pupil. And in other conversations, you hear that parents rock up to the school and they start shouting at the teachers. I mean, I have to say that my parents would probably have said, well, if Nick, I think we better go and talk to the teacher. They wouldn't have started shouting at teachers.
Yeah, well, I guess, again, it goes back to that point. It starts from the house. If a kid sees his parents coming up to school and not respecting the teacher, who in hindsight is making the kid into something that's going to grow up and probably become something, then I don't think so. Our kid's going to learn too much. And I guess this is not really from an old age. You just become old and you decide to become a bit rude. But this is just growing up from the beginning, from the school. You go to colleges, you go to workforce. So I guess it is something a person does it himself. It's not.
It is, and I do think we possibly do need to look to the schools. Satty, you had the last word of the week. Thank you. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'll be back with you Monday morning from 7, but meantime... Let's get the wheels back on the wagon. Let's take those Irish on at Twickenham and have a big win. Have a safe weekend.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock and, some of the dust has settled after yesterday's extraordinary events and I think you'll allow me to suggest extraordinary 3 hours that we spent together. There were moments when I wondered whether we'd strayed into hyperbole, not least when it was suggested that Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor had become the first royal since Charles I to be held by the authorities. It's not often that we reference 1647 on this programme when we are looking for precedent, but it was to 1647 that we correctly turned. But this morning I think that we will responsibly and in a very adult fashion start looking forward rather than backwards and wondering what the facts as we currently know them are going to do to the royal family.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, police are set to continue searches at Royal Lodge, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's former home in Berkshire. Officers are looking into allegations that he shared documents with Jeffrey Epstein when he was Britain's trade envoy. Andrew has been released under investigation following his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. LBC's reporter Fraser Knight has the latest from Windsor.
The former prince lived here for more than 20 years with his ex-wife Sarah Ferguson. He was in the process of moving to Sandringham, but officers are back here today to see if they can find anything else that will help with their investigation.
The former prince spent 11 hours in custody on his 66th birthday yesterday. The last senior member of the royal family to be arrested was Charles I in 1647. President Trump gave his reaction to Andrew's arrest while on Air Force One.
It's a very sad thing. When I see that, it's a very sad thing. To see it and to see what's going on with his brother, who's obviously coming to our country very soon, and he's a fantastic man, the king. So I think it's a very sad thing. It's really interesting because nobody used to speak about Epstein when he was alive, but now they speak. But I'm the one that can talk about it because I've been totally exonerated. I did nothing.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has previously denied any wrongdoing over his connections to Epstein. He's not responded to LBC's requests for comment on the specific allegations connected to the release of the latest Epstein files in January. The Foreign Secretary is due to meet her US counterpart in Washington later after President Trump threw the UK's Chagos Islands deal into doubt. It's reported that Donald Trump changed his mind on it following a row over the use of British air bases for possible strikes in Iran. On Wednesday, the US President described the deal as a big mistake, despite previously backing it. And the government has announced plans to use drones to track illegal waste dumps in England. A so-called drone squad will use laser technology to pinpoint where waste has been dumped, which could later be used as evidence in court. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 55 at 10,680. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry but cloudy end to the morning for most, some bright spells and showers developing later, a high of 14 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Another day, another headline. Reporters talk about green shoots or what AI will bring us. The naysayers will see bubbles, not booms, or maybe for once, there's nothing new to report. Whatever is announced next, we're here to help guide you through the noise. We've helped Britain invest through 45 years of change. That's why we're the UK's number one investment and savings platform, trusted by 2 million people. Hargreaves Lansdown, helping Britain invest for it all. Investment returns vary. For claim verification, visit hl.co.uk.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Thank you and good morning. 3 minutes after 10 is the time. We may have a little look later in the programme at some of the flaws in Donald Trump's claim a moment ago, as you heard in the news bulletin, that he has somehow been totally exonerated by the contents of the Epstein files. But remember, as things stand, only two people have been convicted of any crimes as a consequence of those documents. One is dead and the other is Ghislaine Maxwell. Nonetheless, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor yesterday became the first royal to be arrested, or the first royal to be held, if we're going to be technically and linguistically correct. The first since Charles I in 1647. And the question that we ask is necessarily cognizant of the law. I'm not going to patronise you, but you need to be sensible and you need to be responsible. I'm kind of talking to myself at the moment as much as I'm talking to you. So there's no speculation whatsoever on guilt or innocence or on any of those matters that could potentially compromise future court cases. The arrest, of course, was over misconduct, alleged misconduct in public office. It has nothing to do with the rather more prominent contents of the Epstein files. But I actually want to do more or less what I was preparing to do yesterday before we were rather overtaken by events. And I want to contemplate ramifications. It was on Question Time last night on the BBC that I first heard the question posed about whether the royal family can actually survive this scandal. And you know, scandal is itself a negotiable word, isn't it? Because if there is no further action, then can you actually describe the arrest of somebody who is not convicted of any crimes, or even at this point potentially charged with any crimes, as a scandal? I don't know. But I think in journalese, at least, the word is entirely appropriate, entirely normal. And that's what I want to talk about. So King Charles was applauded yesterday when he arrived at London Fashion Week. Make of that what you will. But simultaneously, as I think Nick mentioned to you earlier, he has also found himself heckled during public appearances. Heckled, I have to tell you, I spoke to a journalist who'd been present at one of these events, and heckled by an individual or two, and they were greeted by sighs of impatience by everybody else present. So most people turning up for a royal visit are there to express enthusiasm and, let's be honest, a little bit of deference as well. But equally, you may have Republicans who are protesting, or you may have people moved to protest by recent events. They are, however, always in the minority. Nobody wants to be heckled when they turn up to cut a ribbon, but I guess the more prominent you are, the more likely the heckling becomes. And the royal family has suffered various crises over the years. If I give you an indication of what I'm talking about, you only need to open one or two newspapers this morning to see memories of the abdication crisis being cited. The royals survived the abdication, but this crisis is worse, contends a royal writer in the Times newspaper. I was chatting to a lovely bloke last night who was in quite a senior position at LBC on the night that Diana, Princess of Wales died in a tunnel in Paris, and we kind of compared notes about how we dealt with those moments in the context of being involved in producing live radio. And that became a crisis in the aftermath of unparalleled proportion, largely as a consequence of the royal family failing really to recognise the public mood and responding to the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, in a way that many considered to be at best inappropriate or inadequate, and at worst downright callous, culminating, under many readings of events, in Prince Harry and his brother being compelled, and I mention Harry first there, because he was so visibly young, being compelled to walk behind their mother's coffin in front of the eyes of the entire world, which was largely construed as an attempt to repair some of the public relations damage that had been done by the grown-ups, that had been done by his father and grandparents in the aftermath of his mother's death. I often think of Harry when I'm reflecting upon how vile British newspapers are, and the fact that they have and can successfully turn the British public against someone so obviously deserving of both support and admiration. It's not a very flattering picture of the British public, is it? But the effort put into, for various reasons, all of them pretty unpleasant, turning the British public against that little boy, who went off, of course, to serve Queen and country in potentially fatal circumstances in Afghanistan. And if you ever doubt the power that British journalism has to destroy the reputations of good people or to malign the reputations of decent men and women, then just have a little look at the Duke of Sussex. Until relatively recently, he would appear in newspaper articles as part of a set of problems that also contained his uncle, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. And even at the time, I found myself thinking that this is beyond bonkers. How